Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And it is Thursday, February 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two people who showed up at a Philadelphia hospital say they were shot while driving in their SUV on 95, and police are trying to confirm their claims. Investigators have been speaking with the 25-year-old woman and 24-year-old man who are in stable condition at Episcopal Hospital in Kensington with gunshot wounds to their legs. Around 9:45 in the evening, Philadelphia police received a call from the hospital that two shooting victims had been dropped off. According to the victims...
You okay?
Sorry. There's gum on the floor over here, and I just stepped in it.
What?
Yeah, I'm
what?
Not really... Yeah,
what the hell?
Sorry, I'm not supposed to put my gum there?
No, you're not. Sorry. And it was throwing me off. According to the victims, the woman was driving on 95 northbound near Allegheny with a man in the back seat and another passenger in the front seat of the SUV. They told investigators a black SUV pulled up to the driver's side of their vehicle and opened fire, hitting two of them. After being struck, they drove to the hospital, but tell police that the third passenger dropped them off dropped the injured man and woman and then drove away. Officers pulled over that vehicle at Kensington and Lehigh after spotting the bullet holes on the SUV. The victim says that the passenger was on their way back to the hospital. Since the victims claim the shooting happened on the highway, the investigation has been turned over to the Pennsylvania State Police. Investigators are checking their State Police 95 cameras to see if anything was recorded.
It's pretty wild because you have two options. There was somebody who knew them or somebody randomly shooting people.
Either way.
Yeah.
But besides that, what's the latest on the gum situation?
Well, Preston, from the gum division, I think that it is dried fruit and not, in fact, gum.
Oh, thank God.
Remember we had those salads yesterday.
That's exactly what it is. It's a craisin.
It's a craisin.
God damn it.
Son of a bitch. Always being misidentified as gum.
Gum.
Yeah. Fruit hybrids fake are news. Horrible.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Dried fruit news.
Hey, but we got to the bottom of it.
We did. Yeah, I'm not sure we did.
Listen, these stories...
This isn't the end of this story.
No, these stories are terrible, but gum on the bottom of your shoe?
It sucks.
A pain in the ass.
It sucks. Okay, if you're going to get to this next story, we were talking about this. This is
insane.
Terrifying.
A Coast Guard lieutenant who was arrested last week is a domestic terrorist who drafted an email discussing biological attacks and had what appeared to be a hit list that included prominent Democrats and media figures, prosecutors said in court papers. Christopher Paul Hassan is due to appear in federal court today in Maryland after his arrest on gun and drug offenses, but prosecutors say those charges are the proverbial tip of the iceberg. Hassan, who works for the Coast Guard headquarters in Washington, has espoused extremist views for years, according to prosecutors. Court papers detail in June of 2017 an email draft in which Hassan wrote that he was dreaming of a way to kill almost every last person on Earth and pondering how it might be able to acquire anthrax and toxins to create botulism or a deadly influenza.
So the multiple horrific aspects of this, he's working in Washington.
Yeah.
He had apparently been going off like this for years. Thank God. Yeah. I guess somebody tipped him off because they'd obviously been watching him. They were able to nip this in the bud. But this guy's off the charts. Crazy.
He was going on government computers and doing searches on extremist stuff. And so that's kind of how they
found him.
They
tracked him
down. But Steve, he was saying that he was a former skinhead in his earlier days.
He sent a letter to himself.
Yeah. So military days, he wanted to try to cause serious. Oh, I mean, killing millions of people if he could make
the world burn.
Wow.
So how does that not get discovered during his clearance, right?
I guess it's not a perfect system.
Well,
if you know how to manipulate, you can get around that. I mean,
But thank God they nipped it in the bud, precariously close to something horrific.
Yeah. So in September of 2017, Hassan sent himself a draft letter that he had written to a neo-Nazi leader and identified himself as a white nationalist for over 30 years and advocated for focused violence in order to establish a white homeland, prosecutors wrote. Hassan routinely read portions of a manifesto written by a Norwegian mass murderer and expressed admiration for Russia. Prosecutors allege that Hassan visited thousands of websites that sold guns and researched searched military tactic manuals on improvised munitions. Federal agents found 15 firearms, including several rifles and over 1,000 rounds of ammunition inside of his basement in Silver Spring, Maryland. They also found a container with more than 30 bottles of what were labeled human growth hormones.
Yeah, he had HGH.
Hassan appeared to be a chronic user of opioid painkillers and purchased a flask filled with 4 ounces of synthetic urine online. Authorities think that he purchased the fake urine to use in case he was randomly selected for a drug test.
Sure, yeah.
It's like you couldn't concoct a more horrific scenario.
It's important to know that from time to time that people like this have been caught.
Yes.
That things like this have been averted, that could have been national or worldwide tragedies. They do get these people from time to time. And
that's them doing their job.
It's them doing their job.
And thank God they did their job. I also understand he was a fan of hybrid fruit.
Oh, no.
My God.
The chief of the Federal Defender's Office in Maryland, which is representing Hassan, declined to comment on the allegations. The Coast Guard did not immediately respond.
So he had clearance. He had to have some level of clearance.
Yeah, he worked at the Coast Guard.
He's an officer.
He did. Yeah. Housing advocates in Philadelphia have long complained that the building boom has led to a shortage of affordable housing. Fox 29 reported on a man who's living in North Philadelphia, and he's living out of his van because of this reason. David, who didn't want to give his last name, is a 62-year-old resident of North Philadelphia whose home is a bluish-green Chevy van parked on the corner of 8th and Norris. The van has a bed, a TV, a space heater, and a microwave powered by a cord running to a nearby construction site. All the items David says that he needs to get by, which he claims he has for years. David, who says that he suffers from multiple sclerosis, says he moved into the van after his home just a block away was damaged during new construction. He says he survives by doing odd jobs for neighbors who say they know that he lives there. David says he uses rainwater to wash up and bathrooms in local stores. He also says he doesn't want to leave or he doesn't want anyone's pity. I have no worries. I live for each day and live each day that God gives me.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that we know the folks who do the van life, you know, the they mod their van and all this stuff. That's by choice. This is sort of necessity. How he's ended up. Necessity. By necessity. Yeah.
Yeah. But like the neighbors know him. He does jobs.
See,
for them.
He seems like a really nice guy.
I know.
Yeah,
sad. Yeah. All right. In sports this morning. The Sixers announced that All-Star center Joel Embiid will be out for at least a week with left knee soreness. Yeah, and guard Firkin Korkmaz will be out indefinitely with a meniscus tear. Embiid had the MRI on Tuesday, but Coach Brown didn't believe Embiid playing in Sunday's All-Star game did anything to add to the lingering soreness he has in his knee. The Sixers are at home tonight with their first game after the All-Star break and will host the Miami Heat. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The National Hockey League's Department of Player Safety has suspended Flyers defenseman Radko Gudas for 2 games as a result of a high-striking penalty against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The incident happened with 4 minutes and 8 seconds left in the third period in Tuesday night's game. Gudas is considered a repeat offender under the terms of a collective bargaining agreement and has been suspended 3 times before as a Flyer. He will miss tonight's game in Montreal against the Canadiens and the outdoor game on Saturday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tonight's game gets underway at 7:30. In college basketball, Duke star Zion Williams injured his knee in the opening minute of the game against UNC. His Nike shoe blew out. Whoa. And he sprained his right knee on the first possession on what became top-ranked Duke's 88-72 loss to number 8 North Carolina. Williamson grabbed his right knee in pain after slipping and falling when the rubber sole ripped loose from the rest of the shoe from the heel to the toes along the outer edge, with Williamson's foot coming out all of the way through the large gap. And in baseball news, Don Newcomb, a star right-hander for the Dodgers who made history by becoming the first pitcher to win the Rookie of the Year, Most Valuable Player, and Cy Young Awards in his career, has died at the age of 92. Nicknamed Nuke, he played for the Dodgers in Brooklyn and Los Angeles and was the first black pitcher to start a World Series game in 1949. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kate. Kathy. We welcome everyone to a Thursday morning, and we have some stuff planned for today. Let me see what we have for you. Number one, we're going to talk to Jeremy Roenick.
Yes.
I haven't talked to Jeremy Roenick in a long time. But it's
always conversive.
Yeah, it's in conjunction with the charity event that's going on tomorrow, actually, at Miller's Ale House, and it is the New Hope Dogs. So we'll get some details along with Jack O'Donnell, who is from the organization as well. So Jeremy Roenick, so it should be pretty cool. What else do we have going on today? We have to make sure that you get closer to winning our Word of the Week prize, which is only 3 days, three letters. It's a short one, but we have a six-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ, courtesy of our friends at Bud Light. So listen up for your chance to make sure that you don't miss that letter and possibly win those tickets. It would be cool. And then Marissa has an appearance tonight.
Yes.
PJ Willihan's. And Marissa, where is that? It's in New Jersey.
Maple Shade? In Maple Shade.
Okay.
And I just found out we're going to have a whole bunch of concert tickets, like Muse, Seth Meyers, Third Eye Blind, World, for everybody who comes out. Plus, you can meet Calendar Girls. It's going to be like a huge party tonight.
Right.
And enter to win that VIP Carbo Classic experience.
7 to 9 tonight?
7 to 9 tonight in Maple Shade.
All right. So
that's awesome.
We'll remind you of that. So these things and more are going on. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Come back in a second. Stupid Question and Entertainment Report. That's what we begin the day with. So we'll do that in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st, for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score lift tickets for just $20 and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
Scoot up Valentine's Day? Diamonds will get you out of the doghouse. Make it up to her with Stevens Angel Heart Diamond Necklace for only $128. Online at IHateStevensSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Stevens Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, this morning, a stupid question. Correct answer will net you a four-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show.
Oh.
And that is coming up on the 27th, and it will be through March 3rd. So the question that I have for you this morning is Denzel Washington. This is Black History Month questions, by the way. Denzel Washington has been nominated for 9 Oscars. How many has he won? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's see if you know the answer. And I left my entertainment report in.
I've been leaving stuff in the other room.
Well, you're so scattered. We just survived Snowmageddon. This is the second time this week that I've done that.
Dude, I left my cell phone at home this morning.
Did you really?
I left that. And I had the debate of, Do I go back and get my phone, or do I just go to work? And I ended up at work at 15 minutes late. But it's so frustrating when you leave that crap behind.
I know.
I left my briefcase, all of it, every single bit.
Yesterday.
At home yesterday.
You were freaking, yes. Oh, Kathy, remember the morning that I absolutely flipped out in the office?
Oh, yeah. You forgot?
Because I left all of my Bizarre File stories and all of my junk drawer and noticer stuff, which is essentially
everything.
Of my prep work at home.
I thought you broke the desk.
And I was banging on the desk, F-bombing all over the place. Because how stupid must I have to be leave everything that I need at work at home?
I'll make you feel better. I'm walking up City Line, and I realize I left my car at home.
Your whole car?
Oh, my God.
It happens. All right, so let's see if you know the answer. How many Oscars has Denzel Washington won? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I will go through the birthdays while you're calling in. Today is Thursday, February 21st. Celebrating a birthday today is actress Ellen Page. Casey and I were just off air talking about this show, The Umbrella Academy, which we're both completely hooked up.
Should I stay with it? I watched the first episode. I was not that thrilled.
I
was okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm following through with it.
I'm 3 episodes in. Us, the family, all watched it together. I watched a little bit of the first episode, and I'm like, all right, this might be something that we as a family can sit down and watch. There's a little violence and language in it, but We watched first three episodes last night and tore right through them, and I can't wait to get more of it.
How many episodes in the entire run?
10 episodes. Right. I finished in the it first last season. Night. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'll follow through. I mean, there was enough there, but I'm like, you know, these days you have to really pick and choose because there's so much to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you start get committed to something, and then it kind of fizzles. And yeah, man,
I wasted time when I could have wasted my time with something else.
A pretty wild movie that she's in that I watched not that long ago for the first time is Hard Candy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of tough to watch. But
it is.
If you haven't seen that, go take a look. She's 32 today. Actor Jordan Peele of Key and Peele.
Yes, he's going to be hosting the new Twilight Zone anthology series.
And he is the right guy to do it with Get Out. How about this other movie, Ma, that's coming out?
Yeah, yeah.
You seen the trailer for that?
I have not, but I heard about it.
It looks very, very bizarre.
Yeah, well, and I love that. I love that he does this stuff.
He's behind it, so I'm digging this direction that he's going in. He's 40 years old today. Big birthday for him today. Jennifer Love Hewitt also turns 40 years old.
Still dig her.
Yeah.
She's on that show, I think, 911. Right,
she is the
she's a 911 operator.
Okay,
this is the coming attractions for this show are like every disaster that could happen. Yeah. I don't know where this is taking place, but I would move out of there.
Yeah. So she is 40 today, a big one for her. Billy Baldwin his birthday today, brother of Alec Daniel and Stephen Baldwin. He was in Backdraft.
Billy. I like Backdraft.
Yeah.
It's cheesy. It's cheesy fun.
That's it.
Yeah, and he was in that movie we were talking about with Cindy Crawford.
Fair Game.
Fair Game, which is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it?
Flatliners he was in,
Flatliners?
Right?
Flatliners.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. 56 today. Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Obviously, Frasier and Cheers and so on. I've seen him teased for a
new series,
series coming up. I've forgotten what
it is. So people who are falsely accused of crimes, they go and defend them. And then there's a talk of a reboot for Frasier, Preston.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That could work.
It could.
That was a fun show. So he is 64 today. Anthony Daniels, who's been here in our studio, the man inside the C-3PO Star Wars movies. And
he, of course, he's a legend by that fact. What I always found amusing was his kind of a veiled disdain for Kenny Baker, who played R2-D2. Like, he's, you know, he's just sits in a can.
I actually had to walk places.
I had to say things.
And say things.
Beep, beep, toot, toot. What kind of acting is that?
Well, I think he's maybe a little bit jealous that people liked R2-D2 more than their C-3PO.
He's adorable.
So Anthony is 73
today. 3PO was a bitch.
Yeah, he was.
I don't care.
David Geffen, the legendary record executive, is 76 years old. William Peterson, the actor, CSI, Grissom, and
Manhunt.
Manhunter is a great movie, man.
That was the first Hannibal Lecter that we saw on screen.
Yeah, correct. And he is 66 today. And then the last birthday I saw, Ashley Green, who was in Twilight. Played Alice Cullen.
Yes, she's a lovely lady, very attractive. Yep. I don't know if you haven't seen Twilight, you wouldn't know who the hell she is.
I don't. She's 32. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. Is it her birthday too?
Yeah, just
she was lost over there.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner.
Oh,
Sansa Stark, and now Jean Grey is celebrating her birthday, and she's 23 years old. I am in the fifth season of Game of Thrones and trying to time it out to where I get right up to the final season.
You had to slow it down. You had to your roll.
I did. I had to slow down. I was watching too quickly. But she's a lovely girl.
A lovely girl. Who's she married to, Preston?
She's engaged. To Joe Jonas.
There you go. To Joe Jonas.
Another one of the Jonas brothers.
Mm-hmm. One of the very talented Jonas brothers. They're all talented family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all getting back together, by the way. Brothers.
That's great news.
But they're just going to call themselves Jonas.
Oh, really?
That's wonderful to hear.
I did not know that.
Excuse me. I'm going to take a warm bath.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
And slit my wrists.
Oh, my God.
I thought this was a pleasant thing.
I did, too.
Well, it is. I like to bleed out every now and then. Just to rotate the blood.
Lighten the head a little bit.
It starts to smell after a while.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Denzel Washington has been nominated for 9 Oscars. Oscars.
The winner of the best Oscar.
Oscar-mer.
Emmy-mer.
By the way, the Oscar-mers are this week.
Yes, they are.
Sunday night. Yeah. Right.
Oscar-mer.
How many Oscars did he win? That's the question. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will try out Anthony, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Gadzooks,
buddy. All right. How many Oscars?
Text him the phone.
All right. How many Oscars did he win, Anthony?
Two.
Two. Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely.
May I guess the films?
Yeah, sure.
Training Day and Glory?
Yeah, that's correct. Hang out a second, Anthony. We are going to set you up. You're going to get a 4-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show February 27th through March 3rd at the Atlantic City Convention Center. You can visit acboatshow.com.
So I'll tell you what he should have won.
Congratulations.
For Flight.
That was a really good movie.
He was phenomenal in that movie.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? I only watched that one time. It was a heavy movie.
The sequence in the cockpit when he's going to do his maneuver that, you know, and he calls the stewardess over and says, say what you want to say into the like your this will be your last thing if you want to say something just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a heavy movie.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with Jussie Smollett. He's officially been charged with federal disorderly conduct for filing a false police report for his alleged attack on January 29th.
This is insane, this story.
It is. Chicago police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi. He's up for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Tweeted on Wednesday afternoon that the Empire star is being charged with a class 4 felony and that detectives presented evidence before a Cook County grand jury. Guglielmi tweeted, it's a tough name.
It's a tough name.
Tweeted, case update, Jussie Smollett is now officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation by Chicago police for filing a false police report, which is a class 4 felony. Detectives are currently presenting evidence before a Cook County grand jury.
And it doesn't end there, though, Preston, because of the letters that he might very well have orchestrated the sending of, that puts him in with the FBI. So he's facing a whole other set of charges.
In response to the new development, Smollett's lawyer said in a statement, like any other citizen, Mr. Smollett enjoys the presumption of innocence, particularly when there has been an investigation like this one where information, both true and false, has been repeatedly leaked. Given these circumstances, we intend to conduct a thorough investigation and to mount an aggressive defense. If he is charged, he can face 1 to 3 years in prison.
Okay, so, all right, after he went to the police, was there any point where he could have withdrawn his tape, you know, his complaint or
yes,
whatever, so that this wouldn't have gone any further and he wouldn't have been caught or
I don't
anything
know.
Like that?
I don't know how far it would have gone, but he certainly would have mitigated where he is now, because now there's no going back.
Yeah.
He had a run-in earlier, apparently, in his life. There was a DUI that he was involved with, and he said that he tried to impersonate his brother when he was pulled over. So he gave wrong information to the police. Okay, so that was a minor thing. Here, there was this allegation of this crime, and he was sticking to it. So, if you stop and think about it, and the big impact here is police resources were drawn
mm-hmm.
to investigate this in a city where they don't have a lot of latitude for throwing stuff at stuff that's a bunch of nonsense. So I think the fact also, and I was... there was a legal expert on one of the shows I was watching yesterday who said that because he had that in his past of trying to pass himself off and pass false information to the police, if this does, and again, presumption of guilt, presumption of innocence, when he gets to court, if a judge sees that, he may throw the book at him. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, awesome. Maybe. Fox is denying reports that Jussie's role on Empire is being cut amid a reported investigation into whether he staged his own attack. He and his attorneys, meanwhile, have agreed to sit down with police in a bid to stave off a grand jury.
There's also some speculation, Preston, not verified, that he's the poodle on The Masked Singer.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Where are we in that show right now, anyway?
He had a couple of people revealed last night.
Any good ones?
Joey Fatone and...
Yeah, who was Joey Fatone the poodle?
No, Joey Fatone was the bunny, and then Joey Fatone and Rumor Willis was the lioness.
I'll tell you what, if you
really,
if you were convicted of a crime, that's where you need to go there, yeah. Right? Listen, you're hiding in plain sight.
I was kind of like laughing at Casey for actually watching this show and like kind of liking it like a little bit. And I put it on. It was the only thing that was on TV the other day.
Sure.
I was texting him. I'm like, oh, I think they revealed who whatever is. And I think it was a repeat.
It was a rerun, but yeah.
But I'm telling you, it sucked me in. I was like, this is stupid. I don't care that Tori Spelling is behind that, but I'm watching, and I watch till the end of the damn show.
I would probably watch more of it, right, and not fast forward through it if it weren't for the judges. The judges are terrible, especially, and I hate saying this because I feel like I should like them. I don't think Ken Jeong is funny at all.
See, at least on the episode, I only watched one. I thought he was funny.
Really?
So
there was nothing else on television, huh?
He might be like a little over the top, Case.
Well, he's trying really hard. Yeah. And I feel like if his lines aren't written for him, then he is not funny.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the dirty little secret of the Masked Singer.
And Nick Cannon, dude. I mean, this is coming from a guy. Look at my hair.
Yeah.
All right? This is coming from a guy with hair like this. That dude just does not know how to, like, accessorize his head.
You don't like the turbans and stuff?
And the turbans, the long head. His hair, like all of it is just terrible, but it is entertaining to look at. But
well, now that we know that Jussie Smollett has been hiding as the poodle.
Yeah, that says a lot. Meanwhile, back to this story, by the way. Late in the day on Wednesday, CBS2 posted a video that allegedly shows Ola and Abel Asundiario buying ski masks, gloves, red hats, and other gear reportedly used in the stage attack. And police sources tell CBS that the pair bought the items at Smollett's direction.
And they're apparently asking the clerk, how would you fake an assault?
In a statement, the network says, Jesse continued to be a consummate professional on set, and we have previously stated he is not being written out of the show. So that's what they've officially said. His siblings have stood by him. Smollett's brother, Jackie, posted on Instagram a photo that read, "This is the media, an irresponsible media. It will make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. If you aren't careful, the media will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing."
I think he's quoting Malcolm X.
So his siblings are standing behind him.
And you saw this update, Preston, that he was officially arrested this morning?
No.
Anthony Guglielmi just tweeted this out about 15 minutes ago.
Okay. So it shows a picture and says in custody. So,
well, I will say this. I hope that he doesn't do anything crazy, you know, as a result.
Like hurt himself?
Like hurt himself.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
driven to this.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Already he's a little bit unhinged through and do something like this, but...
Right. So, you presumption of innocence is the way the system works, and we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, if someone would be driven to do this in general, you don't know what they would do.
Yep. Now on to the hard news. Khloe Kardashian has reportedly split with her boyfriend Tristan Thompson after he cheated on her with sister Kylie Jenner's best friend Jordan Woods. We talked about this yesterday. And E! And Us Weekly spoke to insiders to get the info on what went down.
Insiders. There's always insiders.
The pair have been dating on and off for more than 2 years. The last time they split up, it was because Tristan got caught cheating, blah, blah, blah. So a source tells E! News Khloe first started hearing things on Monday. She wasn't sure if it was true and started to ask around. She knew it had happened for sure on Tuesday. Reports that Tristan had cheated on her with Jordan. When the news first broke on Tuesday, Tristan tweeted, then deleted fake news.
Uh-huh.
On Sunday night, Jordan and Tristan reportedly hooked up after hanging together at a bar in Santa Monica. Khloe reportedly heard from a mutual pal about the hookup and received multiple shocked texts from eyewitnesses. It's unclear when Khloe dumped Tristan, but he reportedly couldn't care less. Source says he doesn't even think him hooking up with Jordan is bad because him and Khloe were broken up. In his mind, he truly doesn't care.
Were they broken up?
I don't know.
So here's the deal. To add insult to injury, this Jordan, if you're trying to follow this story, and Lord knows why you would be, but here's how it happens. This Jordan is living in Kylie Jenner's guest house. Yep. So she's Kylie Jenner's, obviously, as Preston said, best friend. She cheats with the boyfriend and baby daddy, Khloe Kardashian. It's just a nightmare, Preston.
Khloe and Jordan were fairly tight as well.
Really?
Yes, but Kylie's devastated.
Well, that's
just a dick move. Kylie is having a very difficult time. Source says she's devastated and emotional. She doesn't want to believe that this could have happened. She wanted to give Jordan a chance to explain herself. And meanwhile, she's shocked and confused. Still, despite all the drama, Chloe kept it cool when she appeared in public on Wednesday. She was snapped leaving her brother-in-law Kanye West's office in Calabasas, grinning and looking gorgeous in all white.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So she's,
you know, when you're a basketball player, you have very little opportunity to cheat out on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not just do it right in your own backyard?
Yep, yep.
Well, I just look at this Jordan chick, and it's like, why would you even risk the, you know, like,
yes,
dude, you've got, like, the meal ticket. You got your friends that are, you know, is a billionaire and billion of.
Yeah.
And, you got a wonderful place to live for free. Nice.
I know.
Snort.
I don't get it.
Yes.
All right. I think we have a clip for this next one, Casey.
Yes.
Hugh Jackman and Sir Patrick Stewart have both earned the Guinness World Record for longest career as a live-action Marvel superhero for their roles as Wolverine and Professor X, respectively. So, Guinness Book of World Records. Announced on the British daytime show this morning, Jackman was surprised with the award while being interviewed as the show's guest, where Guinness World Records' Craig Glenday presented the certificate during filming. Both Jackman, by the way, and Stewart have officially held these roles for 16 years and 228 days, as both appeared in the first X-Men movie in 2000 and both starred in 2017's Logan. So,
yep. We have two clips, one of him talking that about it always being his desire to be in the Guinness Book of World Records and what he, as a boy, attempted to do,
yep,
and then being presented with it.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be in the Guinness Book of Records. The Guinness Book of Records was it. My brother and I did come up with the easiest way to get in. Badminton non-stop is about 54 hours, so we both decided to stay up for two nights to see if it was possible. It was a school night. I, of course, fell asleep all the day through school. I just love that at that age we were thinking somehow that would work.
All right, and then this is the clip when they give him the award.
Yeah.
Move it up one case. Here we go.
We've got Guinness World Records Editor-in-Chief, Craig Glenday.
It's been a lifelong ambition, I understand.
That's right.
For the next edition, you have qualified.
What?
You are in there. That's the longest-serving Marvel live-action superhero. 16 years, 228 days. You are officially amazing, and you will be in the next edition.
No, so that is officially amazing.
That is cool. And you remember, I was thinking, Preston, I think we all saw together the original X-Men movie, right?
Yeah.
We were at that same screening.
Yep.
And when he's in that cage,
yep,
and you know it's Wolverine,
yep,
it's like,
so
I can't believe it.
That they did.
It's happening.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I finally saw Logan over the holiday weekend.
Wow. What do you
think? Holy crap.
Yeah.
It's much darker. I mean, everybody warned me, but it's violent and language and dark, but man, is it good.
It's sad and,
and
heartbreaking. And
Hugh Jackman is sensational in that, as is Patrick Stewart,
and
as
little girl.
Stephen Merchant, as is the little girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Sir Patrick apparently then came on with his own video congratulating Jackman for winning the award with him and saying, I've discovered that you and I are now in the Guinness Book of Records. Congratulations, my friend. There's another thing to hang on your wall, he said. All right, Jameela Jamil. Yeah.
What? Whose guest house is she in?
Sparked a serious conversation about how we should talk about the dead when she slammed Chanel's Karl Lagerfeld late on Tuesday.
Okay, I know Jameela Jamil now.
I think
she's from the Good Place.
News of the 85-year-old's death broke Tuesday, and while social media was flooded with positive memories with from models and celebs, the Good Place star, there you go, Steve, chose to highlight a different side of his life. She said, I'm glad somebody said it when she was retweeting an article titled Stop Mourning Oppressors, Anti-Condolences for Karl Lagerfeld. She said, even if it's a little soon, a ruthless fatphobic misogynist shouldn't be posted all over the internet as a saint gone too soon. Talented for sure, but not the best person. Model and Lagerfeld muse Cara Delevingne was one of the first to jump to his defense, writing, seriously, have some respect. You were calling him ruthless? Are you kidding me? No one's perfect, but you clearly don't know the man, so please keep your opinions to yourself and stop bashing people for attention.
Shut up, you big eyebrowed bitch.
She later added, no, this is Cara Delevingne.
I know, speaking, I'm kidding.
And she has big eyebrows. She said, he was born in 1933. I'm not saying I agree with some of the things he said. I'm very emotional. God damn it.
I love you. An Oscar-mer.
Oscar-mer emotional.
I love you today.
Jesus.
No, man, I got your back.
Yeah. She said, I'm very emotional.
I'm so emotional.
And mourning his death.
I just found out I have multiple scabobuses.
Scabosis. She said, where the hell was I?
Towards the bottom.
She's not happy.
Here we go. And mourning his death, I feel like I have to stick up for him when he's not here to speak for himself. While many appeared to be itching for a catfight, the pair politely exchanged point of views, which Delevingne, with Delevingne writing, I understand what you were trying to do, and I apologize if I offended you.
They made nice, right?
Or anyone else, yeah, she said, yeah. I just don't feel that living the past, bringing up things that have already happened, helps anything.
Whatever. Like, listen,
move
I
forward
bet you
and leave and lead with love. That's it. Excuse me?
I bet you he was a dick. I don't care. Like, you know,
dude's dead, man. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Nothing's over.
Nothing's over, man. Yeah. Tell me that Karl Lagerfeld is a bitch. Fat Jamie. Spinning on me, calling me a fashion icon.
It's funny because I saw something dragged up about
John Wayne.
John Wayne the other day, and I'm like, the dude has been dead for decades.
Nothing's
and
over.
It's just okay.
The dude, True Grit.
Wowie. Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Cogburn.
Wowie.
Green Berets.
Yeah.
Quiet Man. Yeah. Coming back saying you were in the Quiet Man, spinning on me. Say I'm not. John Wayne was in the Quiet Man.
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Gwyneth Paltrow has filed a...
Cara Delevingne with the big eyebrows. The airport spinning on me, call me baby killer.
Gwyneth Paltrow has goop.
Yeah.
No, Gwyneth Paltrow has filed a counterclaim against a lawsuit filed against her by Terry Anderson. The two are disputing a 2016 skiing accident. Remember, I told you about
yes.
this. With Anderson claiming that he had been... I guess that she had been skiing out of control.
And she collided with him. Ramming
into him and leaving him with injuries. Sanderson is reportedly seeking at least $3.1 million in damages.
His original claim, Preston, was that she split him in half.
Now, she is claiming that she was the one who was injured. And this is according to the records. It says, Ms. Paltrow remembers what happened very clearly. Her suit read, she was enjoying skiing with her family on vacation in Utah when plaintiff, who was uphill from Ms. Paltrow, plowed into her back. She sustained a full body blow. Ms. Paltrow was angry with plaintiff and said so. Plaintiff apologized. She was shaken and upset and quit skiing for the day, even though it was still morning.
Lest I remind you that she is an Oscar winner.
Yes, this is true. Paltrow also claimed that Sanderson, quote, had told his doctor about 1 year earlier that he was blind in his right eye and that his vision in his left eye was decreasing. Just 3 weeks before the incident, plaintiff told his doctor that plaintiff had gotten old all of a sudden. Other than his vision problems, he had 15 other chronic medical issues.
So this guy's first name is actually plaintiff? That
nope.
works out.
No. Nope. Oh. And she's asking for a symbolic $1 in damages along with attorney fees.
She just gooped him.
Oddly enough, I didn't, you know, I don't know what happened, but I kind of believe her.
I sort of believe her, especially in light of the fact, if it is true that he has the, that he was diagnosed with this eye situation. You always want to believe the celebrity.
Well, no, they're, not necessarily.
I do.
But
they're so famous and true.
But I mean, you know, $3 million, people collide into each other on ski slopes all the time. And, you know.
And this much after the fact, Preston.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you're right. 2016.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm siding with her on that. So the Oscars are on Sunday, as we said, and they're bringing out the big guns. Listen to this. Barbra Streisand, Dana Carvey, Queen Latifah, Chef Jose Andres, Congressman John Lewis, Diego Luna, Tom Morello, Mike Myers, Trevor Noah, Amanda Stenberg, and Serena Williams are set to present the Best Picture nominees.
What?
That's what
Dana
it says.
Carvey?
Why would they have all of these people together doing that one category?
It's not together.
Then what is it?
They string them out throughout the presentation. So it's one person comes out, talks about how great Black Panther was.
They're going to nominate. They're going to present the nominees.
I forgot that they do that, that they stretch that part of it out through the entire broadcast.
So wait a second. Do you think Dana Carvey will come out as George Bush?
No.
No?
I think Dana Carvey will come out for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
And he'll be Garth, probably.
With Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Mike Myers.
That would make sense.
Or come out as Garth for Vice.
That would
right.
be better.
Or the wife.
Or the wife.
Yeah. So, according to Hollywood.
Roma.
The 91st.
It was really boring.
Oscar. About Roma.
I'm going to try and give it a. I'm going to try and give Roma another shot.
Oh, I watched it.
What I'm going to try and do is take a nap first. and then wake up and watch it.
Okay.
I was so sleepy.
Watching.
So sleepy.
They had an article, and it was a lot of the Academy. These are the people who work in the industry, the Academy voters,
mm-hmm.
and they could make comments on their votes as they're, submitting them. And there was a list of them. And you are not alone. People within the industry found Roma boring. I watched it. I thought it was. I've seen movies like that, and some movies like that, sometimes I love them.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was really all that much.
No.
But they fall over themselves, lavishing praise on movies like this, because I think a lot of times the critics are sitting in the theater when the lights come up and they're kind of looking left and right and going, it was really good. It was great. It was great. Yeah. They don't know how to, you know.
It was so beautiful. The way that car tire ran over that dog poop.
I mean, I get.
Literally, you know. There's a shot of, like, a close-up shot of a pile of dog crap.
And your scene with the full frontal is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not a metaphor for something?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Dog crap.
It just gets all squished in between the car treads.
Gets all squishy.
Yeah.
Like, listen, there's been year after year, there's been movies where you go, what?
Really?
You know, like Birdman and what was the one where Sacha Baron Cohen is in it, and it's the robot boy. I didn't get that one either. No, not Mac and Me. I was about the movie industry, the silent films, the first films.
It was directed by Scorsese.
Yeah.
Goodfellas.
No, hang on a second.
With the robot?
Oh, it's Hugo.
Hugo, that's Hugo. It.
That one, I was like, I watched him like, this was supposed to be the big movie of the year? Really?
It was all right.
It's okay. It just didn't, it wasn't best picture,
yeah.
You know, to me, anyhow. But it's all up for interpretation anyhow.
That's the Oscars for you.
And they're this Sunday night, Oscars on ABC. Netflix has snagged Amy Poehler to direct Moxie, a Tamara Chestnut scripted adaptation of the Jennifer Matthew novel. Now, it sounds familiar to me. She's going to produce through her Paper Kite banner. Moxie follows the story of a 16-year-old girl who's inspired by her mother's part in the punk movement Riot Girl. I think I remember Riot Girl.
I do, yeah.
And decides to launch her own feminist revolution. So
nothing to do with the store that closed down in Stone Harbor?
What, Moxie?
Moxie.
Yeah.
No. Man, that'd be cool.
Because that was my favorite shop.
What was it?
It was just a clothing store.
You should do a documentary about Moxie.
Why did it close? What happened? It was open for years and then it was gone.
Moxie was a soda out of the New England area. I stayed at we went and did whitewater rafting in Maine at this place called Moxie Outdoor Adventures. Great whitewater rafting, camping, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the name of the place was Moxie, and so they sold Moxie soda there, and apparently it's an acquired taste.
Oh, really?
It's just a bizarre taste to it. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's where the term "you've got moxie" came from.
You've got
from,
pluck.
Was from the soda, believe
you've
it or
not. You've got
true grit.
Yeah. No way, really?
Yeah, it was an advertising campaign. Season 38 of Survivor kicked off last night. 38.
Oh my God.
So, Preston, all right, so let's do the math here. All right, so the show premiered when we were at Y100.
Correct. I would say 99.
99, all right.
That's about right.
So it hasn't been 38 years since 1999.
They crank out a couple
seasons after, they do a year.
After a few seasons, they started, you know, staggering them and putting one in a fall slot and one in a spring slot, I think.
Yep. They would have to.
And
they shoot it in what, 60 days?
Yeah.
Something like
that. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's like just 60 days straight.
So it's 19 years, essentially, and it's two per year. So it's, there you go, 38, 39.
Yeah, that makes sense,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So, it kicked off last night. Looks like a new series of twists should be expected. Executive producer Jeff Probst tells ET...
There are no twists. It's the same thing.
The idea behind Edge of Extinction was to see how far players are willing to go, both emotionally and physically, to play this game. So, here's how it's changed.
All right.
Once a player is voted out, they will be faced with a decision. They can choose to go home, or they can grab the torch, get on a boat, and head to an unknown island in the middle of the night. What awaits them there is a big island of uncertainty.
Ooh.
No information. Very little in terms of a shelter or supplies.
I know what this is.
And this will push players further than before.
Do you know they send them, Preston?
Mm-mm.
To that island where they abandoned all those medical monkeys?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
14 new players and 4 returning ones, including familiar faces from Millennials versus Gen X, Worlds Apart and Game Changers.
Oh my God.
Are competing for the $1 million purse.
I am going to have to make sure I don't watch it.
And it's still just $1
million,
huh?
It's still
$1
million.
I can't believe I'm saying that. Yeah. Just $1 million.
I know, but for the you want to talk about an effort.
38 years.
Mm-hmm. Where you can, you know, you pull out the right series of envelopes on some show and you'll get $1 million. Here you're eating your own crap,
yeah.
And bathing in your bunkmate's piss, and you're
how much is the host making? You know what I mean, Jeff Probst?
I'm sure he makes more than $1 million.
He makes more than $1 million.
Yeah. But honestly, where can they push it? So, you know, remember I did Left 4 Dead, a parody a while ago. How much sooner before we get to that point?
It's a good question. I mean, we've always said that we have started to evolve into the Running Man.
Oh my God, yeah.
TV, entertainment.
Yes.
CBS is
here we go.
The last word in reality programming.
We have it.
Presenting Left 4 Dead. One contestant, no food, no water, no shelter, no clothing, stranded in the middle of the Sahara Desert. He is Left 4 Dead, day one.
Well, here I am, middle of the Sahara Desert, and I'm excited and I'm a little bit scared, but I really think this is going to change my life.
Day 25.
All right, I'm getting a little concerned now, I have to say. I mean, it's been like 3 weeks, and I haven't seen anyone. I mean, no one. And I haven't had any food or water in all that time. And my skin is getting really burned from the sun, and I've started urinating blood.
Day 41.
I realize now that Left 4 Dead isn't just like some f***ing title. That's what they're gonna do. They're gonna leave me for dead. They're gonna f***ing let me die. I'm gonna f***ing die! And I'm not gonna get out of here! And I'm not gonna get to meet Brian Gumbel!
Day 55.
I can't fight anymore. I can't do it anymore. I see you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Take me home, Jesus.
Left 4 Dead. Coming soon to CBS.
I would watch that.
That's where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Survivor Edge of Extinction airs Wednesdays on CBS.
I want to be on that show. I love
you. All the time that the show has been on, you've always. I think your show, and I think if you wanted to do a pairing that would make sense,
mm-hmm.
the Great Race,
the Amazing Race,
Me with Kathy. You and Kathy,
yes,
that would be where you guys would excel.
I got called for that show.
Did you really?
Yep. My cousin and I submitted for that, and they were calling us. They were going to fly us out to LA, and then they called back and they said, "We apologize, but they actually chose a different different cousin group." And the group that went through when we ended up watching that season, it was, remember the girl and her her cousin was, and I forget what's politically correct now, but was a little person, was a midget. Do you remember that, Casey?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I never watched that show.
Oh, yeah. I loved that show, but that's who beat us out.
How long are they gone for?
I'm not
Amazing
sure.
Amazing Race?
I don't know. It's not that long. I don't think it's as long as a Survivor.
I never did watch that show. Some friends that absolutely loved it. And I never really watched it.
It dominated the Emmys for years.
It looks like the type of thing I would like to do as well. I love games like that.
Kathy, we're looking at a picture of the team couldn't you have gotten on your knees?
That's them. Yeah.
Yeah. You got on your knees. Just put the shoes in front of your kneecaps.
And you know what? Our submission video was like so short and simple, and the person behind the camera was hysterical laughing at us, so the camera was shaking the entire time. But we basically just came up with duos, and like my cousin was like, "Hi, I'm Sunny," and I'm like, "Hi, I'm Cher,"
yeah.
And then we just we just kept going, kept introducing ourselves as different duos, and yeah. That was it.
If you have that tape, bring it in.
I don't think I do. It was so short, and they called us and they were like, "Hey, they really love."
Well, you got close then.
Yeah, we did. We did. We talked to the producers and everything. We had phone interviews.
Oh man!
But this couple beat us out.
Yeah. I told we could have been on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
I know
we could have been the queer guys
called back.
Yeah.
All right, we are ready for clips here. The Umbrella Academy. We were just talking about that. A Netflix series based on the comic books follows a group of superheroes as they reunite after their adoptive father dies. In this clip, Emmy Raver Lampman talks about how the writers took liberties with the original content. Here we go.
There are things that are needed in a TV show that, like, aren't in the novels and vice versa. So I think the finding the happy medium of where to elaborate and then where to leave it for the page, I think that was also part of Steve's genius, is, you know, elaborating on the storylines that are really good for television and fun to watch.
Yeah! The Umbrella Academy is now streaming on Netflix. I'm loving this.
Well,
show.
Now that I know it, it's worth investing the time in, you know, it's because I do the taste test. I watch one episode, and if I'm not immediately hooked big time, I just pass. But okay, I'm going to rejoin it then.
There's this character named Klaus on there that is just hilarious. So if you get a chance, check it out. Let's do the next clip. After 12 mystical years, the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy is coming to an end. In this clip, Jay Baruchel explains how his character, Hiccup, has some changing to do.
Traditionally, in the other two movies, Hiccup's the one changing other people's point of view. And in this one, he kind of needs a bit of a shift of his own, because he's got beliefs ingrained in him that maybe don't make as much sense as they once did.
Yay! Great series. And How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World opens on Friday.
I love them. The first one came out of left field.
It did.
And just fell in love with it.
Yep, yep. All right, that's it. So I got any entertainment memo report for you this morning. I'll continue with that all day. We are going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment or two. Make sure you stay with us. And listen, there's a lot of different appearances going on this week of members of the President and Steve Show, which I'll bring you up to speed on, and some stuff for you to win, some parties for you to be a part of. I'll tell you about those in a little bit. We'll be right back.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Going up to about 52 degrees today. It's going to be much warmer than usual, 45 tomorrow, and then the day after that. But then Sunday we might hit 60 degrees.
It's just crazy. I love it.
Rain in the morning. Yeah, I'm not too upset about that at all. If you are one who pampers your pet, I have a story for you.
Turns out you're a piker, right?
Compared to Karl Lagerfeld, who just passed away.
Yeah.
He had a cat named, and I tell me if this is correct, Nick, you're good with French pronunciations, Choupette?
Yes.
C-H-O-U-P-E-T-T-E?
Yeah, I think it's a term of affection.
Choupette.
Yeah.
So that apparently was his one true love. Choupette was his cat, gifted to the late fashion designer around Christmas time in 2011. Now, Choupette originally belonged to French model Baptiste Giobianconi.
I wanted to have this kitty cat.
But following...
every time you give this kitty cat, I want you to think of me.
2 weeks of house-sitting for Giobianconi, Lagerfeld quickly had a new feline friend. And according to Lagerfeld, he said in an interview, when he came back, I thought, I'm sorry, Choupette is mine. The four-legged Siamese kitty's life was forever changed when Chanel's creative director became his owner. Not only was she showered with presents like catnip and caviar, but she also garnered a multi-million dollar net worth.
Can you believe that? I mean, we've heard stories about this where there have been all sorts of people who have had a lot of money and set up a trust and put millions of dollars aside for the care of pets.
Yeah.
But dude, reading this story, this cat was beyond pampered.
Lagerfeld took it to another level.
Not that it matters, but you said Siamese. It looks like it's a Siberian cat. I don't know if you misread or if it says that, because those cats can be pretty expensive.
I think it says here. So yeah, Siamese kitty is what it says right here. So anyhow, Choupette has two maids.
You have two maids.
Francois and Marjorie.
I work for a cat.
Could you imagine?
Oh, you have thought your work is not good, huh? You don't enjoy your job? I work for a cat.
Francois and Marjorie are Choupette's personal maids.
Are you happy today, Choupette?
And their job was to keep her company when Carl was not there.
Sorry. Look, you crapped in a box.
And these are all interviews that were done with Lagerfeld. So this is him speaking, saying, even if she sleeps, she doesn't want to be alone. She's like a chic lady, like a kept woman with her personal maid, he previously told CNBC.
Now you know why he wore those dark glasses all the time, because his eyes were spinning.
What a great job, though. I mean,
take care of the cat.
Hell yes.
Oh,
I'm a cat petter.
I'd be a multimillionaire,
right?
Mm-hmm. Choupette owns an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
When catnip and traditional cat toys don't occupy her, Choupette likes to paw around on her own personal iPad.
Has a Netflix account.
It's just exclusively for her. She eats dinner at the dinner table. Lagerfeld would treat Choupette as his equal, so eating on the floor like any other kitty would be considered uncivilized.
That's where his house staff would eat.
He said she has lunch and dinner with me on the table with her own food. She doesn't touch my food.
Oh, good.
And, of course, her dishes are designer. Goyard, to be exact. I don't know what that means. Is that a person? G-O-Y-A-R-D?
I'm sure it is.
And Carl told Harper's Bazaar she has one for water and one for her little croquet. And one for her pate.
Oh,
here's a Goyard bag for $16,000.
Oh, oh, you know what? These must be the dishes.
Yes.
That they're served in.
Of course.
Oh, she has. Yes, she has. Her dishes are designer. I thought dish as in the actual food that's being served.
Yes.
This is the plate right. That the food is served in.
That the
so
cat food goes.
She would use Goyard dishes.
One for her nine lives.
One
for her temptations.
One for water. One for her little croquet. or croquette, and one for her pate that she would have.
It's an immaculate arrangement. The cat is sitting at the, looks like a little bit off the table or on the edge of the table.
This isn't the cat.
Oh, okay.
It's not?
No, because the cat is a grayish, like charcoal color. Oh,
yes, actually the earlier pictures were of him stroking that cat. It's very exotic looking.
Yeah. So, cat, that may be why you're thinking of a...
No, that's the cat I was looking at. That looks like a Siberian cat.
That one doesn't look like the picture I saw either, Nick.
Is it possible that, too, for security purposes, there's an imposter cat?
I would not doubt it.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? And, Steve, they leave in like four different limos.
Yes, absolutely. Three different carriers.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
They scatter so you don't know which one.
And then the guy walks through one limo into the other, Preston, with the...
This article refers to her as a Burmese cat. So, I don't know.
They're all fake news.
It's a rich cat.
So, by the way, her actions are tirelessly documented. Another duty of Choupette's maids is to write down everything she does in a day.
Choupette just walked to the sink.
And
Choupette just walked over to the window.
And then report back to Lagerfeld.
Choupette just walked into the hallway.
He said, when I'm not there, the maids take down in little books everything she did from what she ate.
Mr. Lagerfeld, can you just excuse me for a second?
To how she behaved, if she was tired, and if she wasn't sleeping in the 9 months. We have almost 600 pages, he said.
Oh, man.
Chronicling everything the cat does.
She hasn't tweeted since he passed.
Poor dad. She's in the morning, for Christ's sake.
I wouldn't mind hearing from people if you want to share of the ridiculous, over the top things you've done to pamper your pet. You can certainly jump in, but only if they're really good. If you're like, I did this.
Yeah, not I get some chew toys.
Well, remember Pierre used to get a limo for Lucy.
Yes, he did. When he would go up to the Cape,
he would fly.
He would fly, and he did not want to transport her that way.
Yes,
so he would hire a driver. In a limo to drive Lucy to Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Choupette has, in fact, tweeted.
Oh okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Tweet it, please.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for your words of condolence with the once cold but now simply broken heart. I am going into mourning.
Oh, my God. Such an eloquent cat.
I pray that your kind words and well wishes will help me put my best paw forward in my future without Daddy, Carl Lagerfeld, and as my own woman.
And, by the way, she's wearing a, like, a funeral veil. the little black cat with the black netting over
the face.
I'm assuming that is like after factory, like they photoshopped.
You know what?
There.
In case I don't think she actually wrote this.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right.
It says she suspended her Tinder account.
Oh.
Wait, did you say where she's going? The cat?
No, we don't
to
know
yet.
To hell
in a handbasket.
By the way, Choupette's diary. Her Instagram account has 236,000 followers.
Well. She's a cat.
Including Katy Perry.
What's that?
And Katy Perry is one of her followers.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
It's ridiculous.
So they document everything that Choupette does. And here's another little factoid about her. She made about $3 million in a single year.
Oh, my God.
In 2015, Lagerfeld proudly told The Cut that Choupette was the most famous and richest cat in the world after making $3 million in the past year for two jobs. One... Go ahead.
In just 1 minute, she's made more than homeless people make in an entire lifetime.
One for a German car company and the other for a Japanese beauty product.
Wow.
She is really pretty.
But don't expect to ever see Choupette in cat food commercials. Carl said, I don't allow her to do foodstuffs and things like this.
Why not?
She's too sophisticated.
Yeah, she's not like a normal
But what
cat.
If it was a very sophisticated high-end pet food?
So this is the dumbest, but I swear it's a legit question I may have ever asked. Does Choupette have a will? Because there's so much money involved. There has to be a plan for when she passes for where this money goes.
That's why I asked who she was going to. My guess is it's whoever is going to be her caretaker or whoever's taking
Right, but if Lagerfeld legally left all of this money to a freaking cat,
they're turning it over to ACT.
The cat can't survive on its own, so whoever is going to own the cat, my guess would be that's where the money would go.
I haven't seen anything about the cat being willed anything yet.
Okay.
But you know. There's going to be something.
Well, Lord knows you don't want to make it the staff that takes care of her because,
kill her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, let's go out for a walk, Choupette.
By the way, since 2011, Choupette has amassed a makeup collection with Shu Umura, a fashion line, a book, and a huge following on social media, as we just pointed out.
This is not your ordinary cat. The cat Ken Wright has an active account on social media.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing animal.
Her Christmas presents are the definition of extra. This Christmas, Carl's very pampered cat received catnip and caviar for the holiday. She also revealed to the publication, so this is the cat being interviewed, by the way, that her chef makes her a special meal for the occasion. Choupette said, it depends where in the world we jetted off to for the holidays, but no matter what, Daddy makes a point to have my chef whip up a special Christmas meal. Chef Ozuru, formerly of Nobu Paris.
Yeah, work for a cat.
And other culinary magnates have concocted custom dishes such as Japanese-style beef or chicken gilet with asparagus.
So if you are this Japanese master chef, are you honored or...
You're getting paid.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I'll do it. Give me $100,000.
And she gets weekly manicures. Apparently. Carl's furniture is scratch-free thanks to the weekly manicures that he arranges. He had said the doctor does her manicure. She hates it when we do it ourselves.
I'm sure she hates it in general.
The only time she makes a scandal is then, but everything is done with the eyes. She knows exactly what she wants.
What's her litter situation like? What kind of receptacles? They didn't explain. It's too much of a lady to explain that.
I don't. Yeah, maybe.
Now, let me tell you how she craps.
It's not indicated.
Wonder if she's potty trained.
In a box.
And then the last thing on this particular list of
She has a bidet.
For Choupette, what?
No, potty trained, Kathy said.
It's possible.
I wonder if the
city kitty?
Yeah. Goes into the toilet.
And one moniker wouldn't suffice. She has three names for her, for Lagerfeld's friend. He granted her... these names, he said. Her name is Choupette, Princess Choupette, or Miss Choupette. He has three different
names. Miss Choupette.
Princess Choupette or Miss Choupette.
Adorable. You know, when they actually found Karl Lagerfeld on the floor, the cat was eating him.
That's the thing.
Eating his face.
If he was left there for a series of days, I'm sorry, Choupette.
Choupette, put this in your mouth. It looks like Monsieur Lagerfeld's nose.
Hang on, I'm going to go to Kate here. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Kate. So you pamper your pet?
Yes. All of our pets are pampered. We have eight. But in particular, we have one little chihuahua named Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget.
All right, give us that name again.
What was it?
Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget.
Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget.
Who gave it that dumb name?
I love that name.
Me?
I love that name.
Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget.
Go ahead, Kate.
She has her on Instagram. My girlfriend and I flew about a year and a half ago to Portland, Oregon for a veterinary conference because we're in the field. And we brought Wendy with us. And unfortunately, she got really sick out in Portland and had to be hospitalized. And essentially what we had to do was we had to cancel our flight home. We rented a oxygen converting unit and a car and drove her back to New Jersey.
Would you say that Wendy's spicy chicken nugget is 25% Chihuahua, 25% spicy chicken nugget, and 50% tongue?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're on the account right now.
Nick found her Instagram account.
Yes.
So, listen, but let me ask you, Kate, that was a medical concern, right? If you had have flown her back, would she have died, you think, quite possibly?
She could have. She was a little oxygen dependent.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have let us fly with oxygen for a dog.
May I ask you what the cost was of driving back with the whole oxygen rig and everything?
Total cost was about $5,000.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. Yes. We did a GoFundMe because, again, she's very well loved.
You did a GoFundMe.
About $2,500 for her hospitalization and trip home.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, in general, around the house, what are the things that would let us know that you pamper?
Wendy's Spicy Chicken Nugget.
Yeah, Wendy's Spicy Chicken Nugget.
I don't think my girlfriend and I have touched in about a year because there's always dogs between us in bed.
Okay.
We also have five cats. Everybody is everywhere. There's no limitations to where anyone wants to be.
All right. So I'm similar. Listen, the pets have the run of the house, save for one or two areas. But do you buy little outfits?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay.
Wendy has outfits. All the dogs have outfits. The cats aren't so crazy about it, but it's not that we haven't tried.
Do you know who has to call? Angela Perfetto, her dog. She apparently, I was talking to Allison Dunlop, and she said that Angela has little like a whole row of pet clothing in her closet, like a whole
like
row
hanging
yeah. outfits.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kate.
By the way, the Wendy Spicy Chicken, the account on Instagram is Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget Posse. The dog is adorable. Really, really cute, by the way. So, oh my God, that's too funny. I love that name. We got a little over a year ago, we got two puppies, and I dropped the ball. We did let the kids name the dogs.
Right.
Which is fine, and they're great names because we have Haley and Rook. But I wish I would have done the really interesting name, like the Wendy Spicy Chicken Nugget thing. I wish I would have at least come up with a middle name.
Right.
Or something.
A moniker or something like that.
So initially we used to do that, and then now we're at 10 cats.
Yeah.
So, forget it.
Yeah.
In fact, there's one cat we just call Mom Cat.
That's too much work.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy.
You're going into my territory. Yeah.
Kathy had the brown one.
Yeah.
Brown cat, Jimmy's cat, Christopher's cat.
Seriously? Those were the cat's names.
Yeah.
Jimmy's cat.
Jimmy's cat.
I like the brown one.
Black. It was actually Black Cat.
I had a friend who had a cat named Brer.
Brer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's how the cat would meow. Brer. So they say, Brer, come here. Come here, Brer. And I'm like, what are you guys saying?
It wouldn't come, would it?
Sure.
Really?
That's what they... After they started to...
They start to learn.
They become addressed as such, then they know what sounds you're... Because you're just making sounds.
That's what
they respond to it.
They're responding to tonalities.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just didn't think they ever really answered to their
Case,
name.
Case, did you call for me? I thought you were calling for the dog.
No, but if you go... Yeah. They come for that
one.
Yeah,
they'll come, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's because maybe you've taught them to do that as well. So, I don't know.
My favorite cat name was for a New Jersey Devils fan, and his cat was Claude Lemieux. And Claude Lemieux was a player for the Devils for a long time, and I thought that was a pretty impressive name.
It's like Chase Mutley.
Chase Mutley is good.
It's similar to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all tend to think we indulge our I've done for, like, feral cats. I've bought... I purchased heated cat enclosures for out like little ski show.
You have. And they had, when the cat would go in, it would turn on, right?
Yes,
like, so it wasn't on all the time.
It was heated.
So we got a sensor, too.
Yep. I know it's pathetic, but hey, it's what you do. But Karl Lagerfeld raised it to a new science.
How about this? Let me go to Kim. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Kim?
So I found out when my aunt was going on a trip. She's a very wealthy woman. And she said, I want to let you know something about my will. And I said, okay. And she said, I want to let you know that I've allocated $250,000 for you to take care of Maximilian, who's her cat, in case something would happen to her on her trip.
What? $250,000
Just to take care of
I mean, honestly, you're sort of saying you can get $250,000 if something happens on this trip.
Oh, my God.
You know? And so when that when you do something like that, when you put that into a contract, does the cat have to, does the animal in question, do you set in it in the writing of that, that the cat has to survive a certain number of years or the animal has to, because I think nefarious people, as you would well assume, could use that to their advantage, you know?
Of course they could.
Yeah,
and should.
And should.
Let me stop you. Yes, of course they could, and they should.
Do you know how many people
you should? A cat does not need $250,000 to
survive. In fact, what you do is you use
very few children need $250,000 to
survive. You use the cat to kill her. You beat her to death with the cat.
Kim, is your aunt still alive?
Yes, she is. She did survive the trip. I do not have the cat. But okay. When I told my dad, he was like, wow, she's really lost it.
Listen, we've had to do that with taking care of our animals. I mean, 10 cats and a dog. You know, or whatever's left when we go, you have to make those provisions.
And how much are you leaving for all those animals?
$100 Yeah. What really kills me is, Preston, the ones when people buy those cockatiels or those parrots. Yes, that live 85, 95 years and survive their owners by decades.
They have been known to be the bane of someone's inheritance. Like, I don't want the bird.
Yes.
And you end up having to take the
post-divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my friend Dave's father got the bird in the divorce and didn't want it.
I mean, you just let it go. That's all. You just open the windows. See you later.
I was cleaning the cage out in the middle of a field, and somehow it got out.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what happened to my grandmother's. Because she had, when she would come to our house, she would travel to our house, and we'd have to do the whole thing and cover it at night so it would go to sleep and it would shut up. And after she passed away, my aunt had it for a little while, and I'm pretty sure she opened the window.
Have you guys ever owned a bird?
I have. God bless you if you've owned birds. I have owned birds. The first birds I got were finches. I had a couple of those, and they're pretty easy to take care of. They're really, really small. And then I got a cockatiel, and that thing drove us crazy. What?
We had a cockatiel as well, Fribble. And
Fribble. For a friendly milkshake.
No, it was actually for a friendly nibble.
Okay.
His nibbles weren't friendly, man. They hurt. They hurt a lot. But all day long.
Yep.
And well, that's a bird. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool. Like
I would talk, but I prefer whistling.
We also had a lovebird as well. That his name was Kirby.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of dug having a bird.
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Preston. With the finches, my neighbors had finches. And maybe they still have one. So they came in as a pair, I believe, as the story goes. One died, and then they replaced it with another finch. And when they brought that finch in, the first finch killed it.
Attacked it, yeah.
It was not used to it and would not have it in the cage.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It happened. One didn't kill the other one, but you saw feathers missing from one of them, and knowing that the one was picking on
you're
the other.
You're not Mo.
Yeah. Exactly. But so our cockatiel, Casey, yes, it would. Birds like to make noise in the morning, early in the morning, and they don't shut
up. You know what?
And it drove me crazy.
Now that you're an early riser,
no,
maybe
no,
no.
It's an
unpleasant sound.
I didn't think so.
No. Let me go next to Margie. Hey, Margie. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Margie?
I worked for a brokerage firm years ago, and we would have to review people's wills sometimes. And in the one will, the lady left all of her money to her parakeet.
Okay. How much money were we talking approximately?
It had to be close to $1 million, and it was all being left to the parakeet.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so what really happens to that money?
It depends on who the executor is and who has the right to do whatever with the money in the will.
So, Margie, let me ask you. So in my original question, do you believe is – I assume they place a logical expectation of life for the parakeet. So, in other words, the parakeet must survive this amount of years – for this to for the person who's taking care of the pet to receive, I assume, some sort of, because they're paid to do it. That's always a provision of these sort of arrangements. So how does that work? I mean, how do they base the arrival of years or projection of years on each animal?
I don't know if it was that specific in what we had or if that was separate in something else. I just remember that we were all like, this parakeet's going to have a gold cage and a gold this. Like, what are you going to do?
Does a lawyer come over and do they give the bird a physical? You know, like, do you smoke?
Yeah,
you know,
funny.
It's just crazy. $1 million. So here's what you do.
What a giant waste of money.
Thanks, Marge.
Give the percentage that's obvious that you're going to need over the course of the lifetime, food and care and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then maybe, I don't know, donate some money to people and charities.
Yeah, yeah. Or even a sanctuary.
It's your money or a sanctuary.
If that's your passion, then you can send it there. Wow. All right. Let me go to Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great. What's up, Caitlin?
I had a similar story. A friend of mine decided to adopt a poodle a few years back, and the poodle was probably like 7 or 8 years old. So not towards the end of its life, but, you know, getting there. And I guess they took it to the vet for just a kind of routine checkup. I don't know, something about the food. It wasn't taking in the food properly. And when they were at the vet, like, decided to tell them kind of in, like, hushed tones that the previous owner of the poodle had actually left the poodle a trust fund.
Okay, so how did this progress?
So it was one of those things that anything for the dog, so any type of medical, you know, issue or anything as it got sick since it was like an older dog would be carried through this trust fund.
So the trust fund was left the medical provider had access to this trust fund that would guarantee medical care for this dog.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what they said was, because the previous owner was concerned that, you know, since her dog was older, that, you know, it wouldn't be able to get the certain care that maybe it would need. And that after the dog passed, whatever money that was left over would be donated to, like, an animal shelter that was nearby.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I see that. And that's not too bad. Thank you, Caitlin. I appreciate it. That's so that the person that you're bequeathing or whoever takes over the dog doesn't have a burden of paying for the medical care.
Right.
So that I can see. I understand that. That makes a little bit of sense.
I mean, you're ensuring the welfare of the animal. You're not giving it enough money to buy a Jaguar.
Right. Yeah. To have the pet's needs taken care of.
I mean, within reason, you want a level of comfort. Does your average parakeet need $1 million? Probably not.
Yeah.
What's the lifespan on a parakeet, by the way?
7 days. No, they live for a long time.
Parakeets?
Yeah.
It's not crazy long.
It's not like a parrot.
1,000 years?
No, okay. No. Parrots and like African greys, like Steve was saying, can live 80 years long.
So like a budgie can be 5 to 10 years, a plain parakeet 15 years, a monk parakeet, whatever that is, 15 to 20 years. So not any longer than 20.
I think zoos constantly, Preston, get, and we've talked about this before, they'll get people making inquiries because they're stuck with these birds where the, you know, grandma died, you know, probably slipping on bird feed that fell out of the cage.
This is a tragic accident.
Yeah.
Steve, my two brothers both have cats. And, I mean, I've been over their houses plenty of times. For all intents and purposes, they don't have cats. They don't show their faces at all. And
yes.
I wasn't sure if that is something that you can...
guarantee.
No. Are you like a cat whisperer? Is there any way you can get that to stop?
I could.
Stop.
I'm pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I am the cat whisperer.
Because my little brother's...
It's just the cat's personality.
Yeah. The little brother's cat is so pretty, though. And...
Listen, we have one cat that's called Foster.
Yeah.
And this is the most feral of the cats. Brought him in, he would have died outside.
Yeah.
We have long ago resigned ourselves to the fact that he'll occasionally show up for food. When you're putting treats down, you can pet him for a little bit, and then he's going to go.
My mom had a cat, Precious.
Precious.
And Precious was very quirky.
Yeah.
And, but my mom insisted, she said, oh, he has autism.
Stop.
How do you tell if a cat has autism?
She would say, he's autistic. Now you leave him alone.
Well, he was pissed because he had he was not as
social.
It wasn't as social. So he had social skill issues. But it was so funny to hear my mom say, "Now he's autistic, so you leave him alone.
He's neurotic."
It wasn't like I was picking on him or anything like that. Or I would
stop it.
I would make fun of the fact of how he would act. And she'd just, stop that. He's autistic.
He's got a stutter.
I don't know if we're going to have time to get to this, but this is an interesting text that says that animals can't pay taxes. Is it possible that these people are subverting income tax for their heirs by leaving money to animals?
Interesting.
Maybe there's that's a technicality, an indirect. Right? I'm not really sure.
Well, then I have 10 loopholes.
Yeah, you do.
11.
You're good to go.
The dog is set.
Yeah. All right, interesting. Well, Juppette, who was Karl Lagerfeld's cat.
Yeah.
Lived an extremely lavish
Are
lifestyle.
Are you ready for your caviar, Juppette?
So Marissa wrote sad news here. I think this is great news. This actually makes me happy. Juppette's diary is actually a parody account created by a New York City digital marketing consultant. I'm glad.
The cat's not actually doing it?
Miraculous. That it's not more, like, legit. Not that I actually believe that a cat was writing that, but that somebody
that
was
is
hired.
Somebody from Carl
Lagerfeld's camp.
Lagerfeld actually hired someone knowing that the cat's prose was not all it could be.
Right. I'll honor this. It says, my cats are so special that they get a shout out on the Preston and Steve show. Hey, Taco and Nacho, mommy loves you.
Aww.
So there's a shout out for the super duper pampered kitty cat.
You're not even in a car.
What?
Diarrhea.
What's happening?
Diarrhea. Clap, clap.
You're loco.
Give me a second.
Wrong page?
God damn it. So, again, just a little reminder to anyone who's listening. On a thing, on a rapid fire board here, where I'm supposed to be able to fire sound effects and go through from page to page to page, the tab settings are about a quarter of a millimeter high.
Well.
Because, you know, well, other shows do it just fine. Are these midday shows by any chance?
Yeah.
Enough!
Let me vent.
It's been going on for a while. So
it's never
going to
stop.
Mm-mm.
Taco and Nacho.
Big shout out to you guys.
You got it. Here you go. You little bastards.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment because I've slaved over these bizarre file stories that I've dug through multiple different sources to find for you this morning. And I'll share those when we return.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata and Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum Thursday from 7 to 9 at PJ Willihan's in Maple Shade for the official Countdown to Cardboard Party. Register to win the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic and PJ Willihan's VIP experience, including two rooms, four lift tickets, four passes for the VIP viewing area, and a spot on PJ's sled for their run down the tubing hill. Friday from 7 to 9, the aforementioned Marissa Magnata and 2019 Calendar Girls LC and Alexa rock Piccadilly Inn, 866 US 206 in Chemung, New Jersey, with a Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar Read.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
I'm looking at the extended forecast for Jack Frost Mountain. Nick pulled this up for me. Next Friday, sunny and 36 degrees.
That's exactly what we want.
That's perfect. Sounds about right. And 2 days before snow showers, that means we might get some pat 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 pat.
So that starts.
Pack powder.
Powder pack powder. So we
That'd be awesome.
We'll keep an eye on that for you. But I'm looking forward to a cardboard classic.
We need it. We honestly, it's a listen. Last year was the year of it's a legendary thing.
Yeah.
And we will always have that story.
Yeah.
But I'm psyched for a real, especially with the names of some of these competitors that you've been describing for the past couple of days, Preston. I think it's going to be a banner cardboard classic.
It was so funny last year because I remember like part of the way into it, we're kind of looking at each other and going like, it's getting bad now, isn't it? It's like,
what a mountain. Of course it's going to be worse. I'm sure you get off the mountain, it's going to be fine.
Man. I made the mistake of going back to the lodge after the cardboard classic ended and just grabbed a bite to eat and just doing that. The getting out to the main road, it was brutal. And then, Casey, you and I were sort of crossing paths on the way trying to get home while, Steve, you were already on the process of trying to get home.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Casey and I ended up sort of being near each other back when we realized we had to get back to the hotel because there was no way we were going to make it out of the Poconos. It was a cluster F initially.
So you went
back to the lodge and then went out?
And then I went out. And so I tried to get to the northeast extension of the turnpike down where that Wawa is.
We ended up in the same spot because I didn't even do that. And yeah. We ended up in the same spot at the same time.
And then I ended up going east on 80 and that white out. It was nutty from beginning to end.
When I saw, I think it was a fire truck that was stuck. I'm like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, this, we're not going anywhere.
All right, so, you know, they just did First Man, you know, the movie, and they chronicled that. I'm waiting for a movie that chronicles my exploits.
Yeah.
From the mountain.
Home.
The amount of times I should have, I literally drove under a tree that was being held up by high tension wires. And I drove under it because I had no option.
Steve, I'll call that movie Pissed Man.
Pissed Man.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly Pissed Man.
I got lucky because you guys all went through that, and I was actually checking out for me and Casey. And I think I went back to the room and maybe showered, packed my stuff up, and was leaving. I had packed everything in my car, and Casey called me. He said, did you check out yet? I said, I was walking in to hand the keys back in. He goes, don't, we're all on our way back. I'm like, okay.
Yep. All right, well, not the case this year. Sunshine, 36 degrees. Tonight, Marissa will be at a Countdown to Cardboard Classic party, and she'll be at PJ Willihan's in Maple Shade from 7 to 9. Captain Morgan will be there. Well, the people with Cat, I don't know the actual captain will be there. Maybe he will. And they're going to have concert tickets to give away. Muse, Seth Meyers, Nick Mason, Third Eye Blind, and Calendar Girls will be there, and a chance for you to win the VIP Cardboard Classic experience.
So that's a cool thing. Well, you were expecting a tremendous turnout this time. If you're in that VIP area where we do the broadcast, you're going to have a lot of room to move around and catch the action. Mm-hmm. It's well worth going down.
So head out and see Marissa tonight at PJ Willihan's in Maple Shade, and you just might win that very cool thing. Yes, there are a lot of great sleds that we're excited to see that are coming up. People starting to, the pictures are starting to trickle in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a good one this year. Don't miss it. It's a week from tomorrow. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And look, I was just handed this. It's brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. Mark your Mark your calendar for the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost. Go to WMMR.com to grab lift tickets for just $20 through February 27th. Deputies said, and I don't have many details on this, deputies said a father accidentally shot himself at his daughter's 16th birthday party on Saturday. This is in Texas.
Yes.
It happened at a home. Detectives said the man was spinning his gun on his finger when it went off.
Oh, man.
Woo-hoo! Shot himself in the stomach. Now he's in the hospital. Deputies have not shared an update on how he is doing as of now, but don't do that.
That's my gift for you, little girl.
Hmm. Cops arrested a naked and belligerent Florida woman for allegedly attacking her fiancé after he declined to have sex with her. Officers responded early to a disturbance call at an apartment building, and they encountered Samantha Jewel Hernandez, sans clothes, and in an ornery mood. Hernandez denied doing anything to her fiancé, but was too intoxicated to provide further information. The victim told police that Hernandez wanted to engage him in sexual intercourse, which he declined.
I want to engage in sexual intercourse.
What do you want to do?
I want to engage in sexual intercourse.
Hernandez was angry at the fact that the victim did not want to have sex, and so she began attacking him, striking him in the face and ripping his shirt. Cops noted the man had scratches on his face and neck and was wearing a torn shirt.
I'm going to make you feel so good.
Oh, man.
Hernandez was then arrested on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. Hernandez and the victim have lived together for 2 years. After being placed in the rear of a police cruiser, Hernandez maliciously spit on a patrolman while yelling profanities. As a result, she was charged with battery of a police officer. A woman has filed a lawsuit against the grocery store chain Aldi, saying that a turkey burger she purchased at the store exploded when she cooked it.
Was it one of those novelty turkey burgers?
It caused burns and permanent scarring. Gloria Beasley said that she bought the Kirkwood turkey burgers from a Pittsburgh area Aldi location sometime around July 2018. In the lawsuit, Beasley said... that she removed the burgers from her freezer and followed the to fry instructions on the package.
The to fry, not the to detonate.
No, no, no. And the instructions, according to the lawsuit, were as follows. Preheat skillet on a medium heat. Cook frozen burgers in a small amount of vegetable oil, 7 to 9 minutes per side.
Okay.
Beasley said she followed those instructions, and soon after placing one of the burgers in a small amount of vegetable oil, the burger exploded. Causing Beasley to suffer.
The whole house blew up. It was a turkey burger.
Second degree burns to both hands and forearms associated with permanent scarring.
What happened here, Sheriff? We think it was a turkey burger.
I'm guessing that there was probably a lot of ice on the burger, and she put it down in hot oil.
Instead of like a fork, she was using a stick of dynamite.
And that's her own fault. Beasley is seeking more than $35,000 in damages. Aldi has not publicly commented on the lawsuit. Well, 31 years after he founded it, Pastor James McDonald has been fired as the leader of the megachurch Harvest Bible Chapel.
That's the mega church.
The church announced the move yesterday. The announcement said that the elders had previously determined they were going to remove McDonald, but that they moved quickly after highly inappropriate recorded comments made by Pastor McDonald were given to the media and reported. McDonald founded the church in Rolling Meadows and now has 7 Chicago area locations and 1 in Florida. And the comments attributed to McDonald were broadcast on the radio. The clips reportedly are of McDonald talking to it as a plan to put child pornography on the computer of Christianity Today magazine's chief executive officer.
So they were setting him up.
And about whether writer Julie Royce, one of the critics of the church sued in October, was having an affair with Mark Galley. Yeah, so this guy, the head of this church,
the Magadre,
wants to put child pornography on this magazine's website to kind of, to set them up.
It's all right. I already have a whole bunch on my own computer.
Oh,
we'll just use
my
that.
God.
That's just loathsome.
The audio clips include an insult of Galley and accusations that Roy's had approached the houses of people who were victims in an investigation of the church worker and harassed them. There are also comments about McDonald being able to raise $100,000 in 1 minute.
That made me second guess my church.
Yep. So he's been fired and he's in trouble. This is a sad story and a cautionary tale. If you have an issue with someone, a former NFL player was shot dead in Colorado over a parking spot. You guys hear about that?
No. Yes, I did.
Former Seattle Seahawk Anthony T.J. Cunningham was shot multiple times by a neighbor on Sunday morning in Arapahoe County when the pair met in a parking lot between two middle schools to settle their long-running parking spot feud. Cunningham died from his injuries on Monday. The former player of the University of Colorado was a safety for the Seahawks. It was only one season he had injuries that ended his career, so that's probably why you don't know who he is. But the alleged shooter, 31-year-old Marcus Johnson, is being held on a first-degree murder charge. Officials said a physical fight about the parking space broke out between the two men on Sunday, and the pair continued to taunt each other over text. So they agreed to meet in person to, quote, settle it.
Oh, boy.
They were going to have a fight.
Oh, my God.
And Johnson reportedly called cops and said that he had shot his neighbor. He claimed Cunningham had attacked him earlier in the day. But
for a parking spot.
For a parking spot.
Two lives ruined
and
for a parking
the
spot.
The guy's dead. So, all right, we need to end with something a little bit lighter than that. Okay, here we go. This was quite a sight captured on camera in North Carolina. And I haven't seen this yet. There's not many details. But apparently, a bear was seen riding on top of a garbage truck going down the highway.
Love it! Hey, look, I'm Teen Wolf, but I'm a bear.
The animal wasn't trying to hitch a ride. It was stuck under some netting. Aww. The driver said he had no idea that the bear was up there until police actually pulled him over. Aww. And as soon as the netting was off, the bear jumped down and took off into the woods.
Thank you very much.
But I can't help believe that he didn't have a good time.
I mean, it's, dogs like to hang their heads out the window.
Yes.
I assume a bear would be fairly similar.
Can you imagine seeing a bear on top of a trash truck driving down the road?
So he must have gotten stuck in the trash truck and then the netting came over it or something like that?
I'm not sure. Or maybe, he might have climbed up in there and then once it started moving, he got tangled up in something. I'm not sure.
Or maybe during the actual construction process of the truck itself, a bear snuck onto the conveyor belt.
It goes back to the beginning, the actual creation
of
the vehicle.
No one noticed while the truck was being painted or sold or the whole thing.
I had no idea. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the B-file. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us. The Preston and Steve Show returns shortly.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I have this habit, and I really need to stop doing it, and because I do it right before I go to bed. No, and it's not that.
Okay. No.
All right, so anyway, what it is I will watch some of the Daily Rush videos.
Yes.
And which means I'm cracking up laughing and then trying to go to bed.
right, after that.
Which is not a good idea. But I watched a couple of them last night, which are fairly new ones that Nick Murphy put up. One of them is, it was my birthday and you guys did a mystery guest. It turned out to be just a guy who works in construction in the hallways here in our building.
We just grabbed him.
That you've never met before.
That I've never met before, and you guys were playing it off as if it's someone I knew, and I was had to ask some questions. I was blindfolded trying to figure out who it was. It's hilarious. I could not see. You guys really, you really pranked me with that one, and
we had him say
it.
Yes to everything you asked.
Every single question
so,
I
like,
asked.
Are you on television? Yes. Are you movies? Yes. Are you a musician?
Are you
yes.
known for your cooking? Yes.
Your cooking,
and
we were changing
an island nation. Yes. Are you black? Yes.
White.
Everything was
That's the one thing you didn't do is ask a complete conflicting question.
I was legitimately trying to figure
down the
it
rabbit
out.
Hole. Yeah,
it was so great.
So there's that video up now, and Gene Simmons has his own falafel. And that video is only like 2 minutes long, so it's really, really easy to watch if you only have a moment. And I must have rewound it like six times because there's a part where, number one, I love it when you go into Gene Simmons mode. And Gene is talking about, you know, people getting a free falafel, and his booby used to make them.
Right.
For him.
Right. And it seems just, like a Gene Simmons word, right?
I was just dying. So if you haven't seen the Daily Rush videos, check them out, PrestonandSteve.com. And they are sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So take a look when you get a moment. Hey, real quick, I wanted to mention this on that Duke game last night. The dude's shoe gets blown out. Who is he? Is he just one of the stars?
Zion Williamson. Yeah. He's a freshman, and he's probably going to go number one overall in the NBA draft. Duke is a really good team again this year.
So he has a knee injury from that. And I saw the video of it hit the bottom, the rubber part completely becomes separated from the shoe.
Yeah, crazy.
His foot slides all the way out of the shoe. This was a Nike, by the way.
And he wasn't doing anything extreme.
Nike's stock dropped 2%.
I believe it.
Yeah,
because
I believe it.
Of that in the game.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, honestly, something like that, and they really key off the athletes, clearly, all the endorsements.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
You see in an actual game, is a production anomaly, whatever, that caused it to happen, the wear and tear that it's made for. And by the way, you know they're sending the creme de la creme to these guys.
Yes. Of course. And the best player in the sport.
Right.
And they probably don't. They probably use their shoes a couple of times and then they get new ones.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they immediately reported his Nike shoe blew out. You know what I mean? Like,
course.
It was immediate.
Yeah. Yeah. Those
horrible company Nike.
No, but they
almost killed an NBA star.
You're right, Steve. They give them the best of the best equipment.
Yeah.
And they get brand new stuff
and stuff
all the time.
I just don't know how that happens.
I don't know either.
I've had shoes that I've worn into the ground as a kid where you would just, you know, you'd be in the sneakers for like all the time. I've had it happen where I was running and a flap would tear off and the heel would tear off. This thing all came apart.
I would get to the point with shoes where you'd break them in so well and you just love them so much that I would wear them till the flap would come down at the end, like
and
you were saying,
them.
And tape it back together.
I would tape it back together, which is now, by the way, they sell shoes. You were talking about that line, that derelict type line where they're
Gucci
charging
has that,
for shoes that look horrible. But yeah, when you cannot overestimate, and this is where I align with you, Kathy, on shoes. When you get shoes, it just are just so right.
Yeah.
So perfect.
They're the best.
They're the best.
Yeah.
You buy them in every color.
Oh, my God. My mom does that. When she finds a pair of sneakers that she likes, she will go out and buy like four or five pairs of them.
So for me,
I used to do it, man. Skechers used to make this shoe that I absolutely loved. And so I bought a couple pair of those, and I'm glad I did. They eventually discontinued them. They don't make them anymore, and I'm so bummed out. I would have bought just those shoes.
That's
forever.
The worst, when they discontinue a product that you love.
Come on.
I had it happen where Merrell, and I use, they're the hiking boots, and they're also my regular running, my trail running shoes. I have, my closet is full of them, and Salomon.
So, but Merrill discontinued a line, and I think everyone freaked the hell out because they brought it back.
They brought it back.
You know what I'm thinking about doing is I have an old pair of Skechers, not the exact same type that I was telling you about earlier, but the ones that I started to see some wear and tear, and I liked them so much that I quit wearing them and I set them aside, and I will only wear them on occasion.
Yeah.
But I thought now they're kind of like loafers. You can get shoes resold and
they, there's a cobbler on the very block on which I live.
Yeah.
I
should do that.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it depends on the condition of the actual shoe too. You have to keep in mind you can only put a new sole on many times. But there's a guy right here across the street from us.
A cobbler? Yes. I would say this if you want. If it was a premature thing, then obviously you want to get your money's worth and get it done. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll take it to the point where I know I'm going to get replacement shoes, and I drop those off at Goodwill because they're still usable, and they're going to be good for someone else to use who's maybe needs them a lot more at that level, who's not hiking 6-7 miles a day, you know, like I am. And it's a good way to sort of pay it forward.
You guys remember when we talked about the hot cobbler in Phoenixville? There's a guy that women come from, and what? I suppose some gay men as well, from miles and miles around, and they go and they see this guy. He's apparently excellent at what he does, but I guarantee you that somebody's going to be able to call in or text in.
The hot cobbler.
We talked about this?
Yeah, we absolutely did.
Shoes resold?
No, we absolutely brought it up.
I feel like my name is Hot Cobbler.
Kathy, you don't remember
everyone
yesterday.
Wants to gobble the cobbler.
The hot cobbler.
Yeah. He's in Phoenixville.
It's your honey. I'm going to take off my shirt.
Just cobbler and like the food and cobbler the...
it's exactly the same thing.
Well, it's not the exact... But is there any sort of connection there?
Yes, Lord Cobbler.
I do love Lord Cobbler.
Lord I am finding a lot of desserts in Phoenixville.
Oh, love me some cobbler.
That was my... If you look at my baby book, that was my favorite. I loved peach cobbler. Okay.
Baby book.
I want you later on to go into a cobbler, go up to the counter and say apple please.
All right, I'm curious of the hot cobbler. Nobody's called in yet, Nick.
All right, the hot cobbler. But Nick was right. Remember, he introduced the concept of the talking bird. Yeah, that turned out to be true. So
this
hot cobbler.
This guy's shoe blowout. I wonder if by the way, do the teams, are they the ones that get those?
Nike supplies Duke for obvious reasons.
So he's stuck with them.
Yes. The not to go off on a tangent, that's but right. These guys...
still basking in the hot cobbler nose.
College athletes on this level should get paid. And if this athlete, he'll be fine. Eventually he's going to make his way into the NBA and he'll make a lot of money. But if this were a second or third tier player and this injury happened to him, it could end his career at Duke. He could lose a scholarship. But that's another argument for another time.
Yeah. All right. I do want to get those shoes repaired. I told you guys, I used to wear them. I used to wear shoes until they would absolutely almost disintegrate. And what used to crack me up is when we would be on our band bus when I played in the band. If I took my shoes off, Danny would puke.
Whoop, Danny?
He would throw up, yeah.
It was that bad.
He had a hair trigger vomit reaction, and if I took my shoes off, they smelled so bad that it would make him throw up, and I loved doing
it. When we were kids, I can clearly remember leading up to school, my mother, there would be a bin at the supermarket of sneakers with sneakers attached together with a little plastic connector, and you just grab it, you look for the size, and that was it.
Yep.
That's, you know, the cheapest shoes possible.
All right, got a hot cobbler call.
Hot cobbler.
Let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Good. I work for Phoenixville. Actually, he sponsored a T-ball team for me.
Wait, you work for who?
Phoenixville.
You work for the town
of Phoenixville?
I actually work for the town.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, he actually sponsored a T-ball team for me one time, and yeah, the girls were hot over them, that's for sure.
We're talking the hot cobbler.
Is it Paisano and Sons?
Paisano and Sons,
Paisano, okay.
And what is it? Why is he so special? Do you know, Mark?
He's hot. He's the hottest cobbler you've ever seen.
He's skilled at what he does.
All right. Thank you,
I'll
Mark.
Fix your shoes.
Fresh.
Cleared that
You want me to replace the tongue?
Wait, is that what it is, Nick? He's good looking?
Yeah, yes, that's what he means. He's an attractive. He's not hot. Physically
oh my God.
Hot. His temperature is
when
normal.
When I lace up my triceps, pop.
No. I thought it was like he was.
He's
like
the guy to go to.
Yes.
Right. No, he's a very.
Pots and
no, he meant attractive. Good.
He's a very attractive cobbler.
Got you.
He's hot.
All right, let me go. Julie speaks of another hot cobbler. Hi, Julie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. There's one right right near your house. It's on Route 63.
Whose house?
Preston.
Oh, okay.
You have a hot cobbler near your house and you've been completely unaware?
There's a hot cobbler in Harleysville?
The hot cobbler of Harleysville.
I love it.
Let's just say he's a cobbler.
He's a cobbler. Now, do you go to the?
Oh, she just means a cobbler to go that I can go by and get my shoes.
Yeah,
fixed.
She's saying he's not hot.
It says on the screen here, hot cobbler in Harleysville. You just mean a cobbler in Harleysville.
He's a cobbler.
No, that we don't need. Okay. We need to know where the hot cobbler.
Preston said he wanted to get his shoes done. She's just giving.
No, Kathy.
It's okay.
That's fine.
No. Thank
you,
Julie.
We have a hot cobbler. We need a hot haberdasher now.
How about a hot carbler?
A hot carbler, yeah. Or a hot blacksmith? Butter churner.
This text says that he is so beautiful and a really good cobbler. And this is the guy at Paisano and Sons.
I'm beautiful and I'm a good cobbler.
In Phoenixville.
Oh my God, my lats are really hurting today.
Here, this says Nick is correct. His shop is near Sky Fox and my mom loves that guy.
Sly Fox, not Sky Fox.
Oh, it says
Sky. I'm going to the cobbler today.
I can't find a picture of him anywhere.
Are you looking up hot cobbler?
You might got to go to Phoenixville.
Go to hotcobbler.com. Right? There's loads of dong pictures. We don't use a tongue depressor. We use my junk.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyhow, speaking of shoes.
Yeah.
Payless Shoe Source is shutting all of its doors.
This is actually sad for me. First off, because of the fact that there's people that are going to be out of work. But this is where I go to get my shoes for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event because they're for large gals like myself.
Right. You don't hang on to the same pair? You go get a new pair every year?
I don't want to wear the same stuff all the time.
You can't wear the same shoe every year.
Like embarrassing.
A fashion troglodyte?
There you go.
So 2,100 of their remaining stores in the U.S. and Puerto Rico are shutting down. They're joining the list of iconic names like Toys R Us and Bon-Ton that have closed down the last year. What's Bon-Ton?
It was a department store.
Okay. The Topeka, Kansas-based chain said Friday it will hold liquidation sales starting this Sunday and wind down its e-commerce operations. All of the stores will remain open until at least the end of March, and the majority will remain open until May.
So when's the next Walk a Mile event?
It's in the summertime.
May, right? Okay, so May. Obviously you can go get some good deals. Maybe I'll go do some shoe shopping with the other gals.
Probably. The debt burden chain filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in April 2017, closing hundreds of stores as part of its reorganization. At the time, it had over 4,400 stores in more than 30 countries and then reemerged from restructuring 4 months later with about 3,500 stores. So they've been, every few months, are shutting down a bunch.
All right, here's a suggestion, and I don't know, I'm not good with the financial stuff, but could they merge their inventory with the Toys R Us inventory, paint faces on the shoes, and sell them as puppets?
Sell them as toys?
Yeah.
Maybe they could do that.
This is Hillary High Heel.
Well, let me, it's a shoe.
No, it's a puppet.
Shoppers are increasingly shifting their buying on, they're buying online or heading to discount stores like TJ Maxx to grab deals on name brand shoes. I thought Payless was a discount store.
It is a discount store. You think I pay top dollar for my shoes?
Yeah, but you know what? Like any other store, their name brand shoes are not really all that discounted.
I will tell you
it's
this.
The other shoes, and then they end up being crappy shoes.
Kathy, I used to get my Merrells all the time at Eastern
EMS.
Yeah.
Right?
All the time. And then they closed. And so I had nowhere to go. So they're on Amazon. I get them out through Amazon.
But Lake Dix has got a really good selection
of the barrels. Okay,
yeah.
I don't have one near me though.
Yeah. So with the
there are no Dix near me.
With the Payless though, I only went there one time in my life, and that was my mom actually gave me the money and let me go get my own school shoes when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Which was a godsend because anytime I bought school shoes, they were always so tight and I hated them. But I think Payless is really good for, like, kids' shoes because they grow so fast. And you know, some people
listen. Little Rugrats?
Well, listen, some people love to put their kids in designer, you know, oh, I'm going to get my kid the Jordans or whatever. But honestly, they grow out of their shoes so much. You don't want to spend a ton of money.
You ever go to DSW?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, they're
no, but Payless
but
is
again,
like.
Again, they're not like, it's not all that discounted.
Really?
You know, like, you can still get, I'm pretty sure you can still get a pair of Nikes at Payless, but they're going to be similar price than you would get them on Nike's website.
Wow. All right, so there, if you're... Sad to hear that. Get out and get some deals, if you can, to
some deals.
A Payless shoe store. Speaking of fashion, this is kind of interesting. Fashion trends, of course, change all the time.
They do.
But apparently, it seems that designers are partial to prints that feature cartoon sperm on them.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at designers from London Fashion Week, designer Ashley Williams showed her ready-to-wear fall-winter line on February 15th, and it was full of squiggly, cartoon-like, sperm-printed pieces.
Hmm.
She also has a penis-covered sweatband. A few days later, designer Christopher Kane showed off his line, which included mini dresses and T-shirts emblazoned with the terms rubberist and lunar. I don't know what that means. They're underground kink sex terms.
Oh, you know that? You actually had a story about this a while ago that the harness trend came from the world of S&M.
You know what?
The kink world does start to move its way. Now, I can't see this harness thing catching on, but I could see, sperm prints all over your school clothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and large gaping anuses and all. Yeah, that whole thing.
Large gaping anuses.
And sphincters and vaginas. I think that's appropriate school wear.
And it sure does look like a smiling sperm.
We're looking at a picture of the print, and it looks like a cartoony.
It's from the Splooge collection.
Sperm cell with a little smiley face on them, and they're all over them.
Kathy, your mom should design clothes under the name Jake Giel.
I love that. So they were apparently a hot trend at Fashion Week.
Preston, to that point, Karl Lagerfeld. All right, so here's a fashion icon, and honestly, if you looked at the way, and I guess it's a world we're just unfamiliar with, but the way he was always dressed, I don't even know what look he was going for, but to me it looked like a cross between Dracula and Mr. Hal.
Yeah, he would wear these. He'd wear those really dark glasses, big round dark glasses, and then
platinum blonde hair.
Was always up to the chin.
Yes.
His whatever he wore buttoned all the way up that high.
A big, like an ascot.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's what they do. You know, who was in Zoolander? Who was Will Ferrell's character?
Oh, Mugatu.
Magatu, that's it. So, you know, they're just trying to look as outrageous as possible.
Hansen, yeah.
Speaking of sperm.
He's so hip.
Speaking of sperm.
Sperm.
Your bed is your sanctuary. It's important that you change your sheets after they get gross. A mattress advisor found that men say that they wait to change sheets that have been soiled through sexual activity and that they will wait around 11 days. To change your sheets. I thought Kathy would find that kind of repulsive.
Kind of disgusting.
Don't you kind of consider that, Preston, sort of your sexual keepsake book?
Sure.
Oh, God.
Like, see this?
See that?
Yeah. It's a good Tuesday.
That was Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
This was the FedEx gal.
Women say they waited 4 days after sex to change their...
So what was in your worst days, what was the longest you went without changing bedding?
Dude, probably a year.
Yeah, I'm right with you.
Knowing me, I just did not care.
I washed it.
Yeah.
Probably after like 10, 11 months.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, good Lord. I would go that long. I just didn't care.
And it was my earliest days of bachelorhood when I didn't know things. I was still pooping on the couch.
Right.
Kathy,
right.
How often do you change your sheets?
I do mine every other week.
Halfway through the night.
Every 2 weeks? That's a little okay. That's
wow, you're disgusting.
You are horrible. No, that is that's less frequent than I
what
had.
What about the skid marks?
How often do you buy sheets?
I don't buy them all that often. I've had...
Once every few years?
I guess so.
She buys them discount from the hospital.
Yeah. I have a set that I really like, and I have a couple of pairs of them. So I don't I don't wash my sheets and put them right back on. I rotate them.
Okay. I'm due for a new pair of sheets. I've probably had these for 5 or 6 years, and there's a little hole has appeared in them, and so it's time. But I don't know what to spend on sheets.
Oh, Ralph Lauren at Bloomingdale's.
You can spend so much money on freaking sheets.
I'm very upset because my favorite blanket has elephants on it, and it's getting too worn. I think I have to get rid of it.
That's a shame.
I know. People apparently think that one night stands are less disgusting, with men saying they wait 18 days after one to change their sheets. Women saying they wait 2 days. In general, men admitted they only change their sheets every 45 days, but with the average person changing their sheets every 24 days. And they say that they feel that their sheets get gross after 35 days.
So when I was single and dating, I would only really change the sheets immediately if someone died on them.
Oh. You wouldn't pile 50 blankets on top of them like
the other bizarre story you had.
But if you knew you were going to have somebody come over, did you wash your sheets so you had fresh sheets?
I cleaned up everything. Yeah. When Claire, my wife, came over, I said, this is going to be easy money. No, I said, the place was spotless. But I was actually fairly clean as a bachelor. But my earliest, when you don't know what you're doing, you know, there were things that I just, I guess I have to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or my mom would say, have you done this? And then I'd be like, no.
And my mom had passed away at that point. And my dad was, had left. So I was young bachelor alone without it. Like, I'm going to go see, hey, Lou, how often do you change your sheets?
Right. There's one other story I want to bring up real quick, because this is becoming a thing, apparently, a trend, if you will. But police are telling parents to keep a watchful eye over their teens after stories of what is being called a 48-hour challenge.
Listen to this lunacy.
Are popping up around the internet. It encourages teens to go missing for up to 2 days at a time and awards points for every social media mention while they're missing.
Good Lord.
Yeah. How stupid is this?
Yeah.
It makes the Tide Pod challenge look like a brilliant.
Police say that in addition to being potentially dangerous for kids to participate in the challenge, it could also tie up authorities while there are real emergencies that need to be tended to.
When you file a missing persons report, can you file it immediately, or does it have to be 48 hours?
Well, it depends. I think if they're over 18,
right,
they have to be missing for 48 hours. Maybe somebody needs to confirm that. I don't know what the rules are. A kid, immediately, you can.
Well, he's 7. He should be fine. Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. I don't. You've known anybody who's ever had to file a missing persons report?
Yeah, years ago.
Did it turn out?
It was a runaway.
No kidding.
And I was a kid at the time. Years and years and years ago. And
I would feel it would be as an adult. Let's say that you haven't heard from your wife for 12, 18 hours, something like that. Something's wrong. You know it.
Yeah.
You go to the police. You tell them that this is going on. And they turn around and say, well, you have to wait 2 days before you can file a report.
Yeah, I think it's circumstantial.
Wouldn't you just be, no, listen to me. I'm telling you, know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this person is missing and I need help. Yeah, Kathy, I don't know. Maybe there has to be more to it than just you saying that I haven't seen them in this amount of time. Maybe there has to be some sort of evidence of a struggle.
She was attacked by two Nigerian bodybuilders.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe that's what happened. I'm not sure, but it would be insanely frustrating if you know that something's going on.
How do you accelerate that? Because you must listen. It must be absolutely horrific.
Oh my God.
Every minute must seem like an hour.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have had your kids where you couldn't locate them for a brief period of time.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. I have pretend kids and I freak out.
Yeah. I told you guys about, the Running Away Club where my two friends actually went through with it and went missing just for basically an evening. It was a Friday night and I don't know how long parents were looking for them before, authorities were called, but I know that they came to my house probably in the 9-10 o'clock hour saying, hey, do you know where these guys are?
And it's got to suck, though, if you're away for like a couple hours and you come back and your parents have rented out your room.
I'm happy people are texting and calling in because I'm way off on this. I'm going to go to Todd, who is a police officer. Hey, Todd, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So help us out. Somebody, you feel that something's going on. Someone is missing. What can be done?
In the state of Pennsylvania, you can call the police immediately and file a report. You don't have to wait. That's a myth.
Okay. That is a myth. Okay. Good to know. And it doesn't matter, what the scenario is. You guys will take that seriously and start to try and look for them.
Yep. If you feel like somebody's missing, it's better to call earlier than later,
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's so because they always say good that the first 48 hours is the most critical time for anything of this nature. So, that is good to know.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yep.
No problem.
Right. Nice. So they are they're warning parents that kids might be doing this. Do you guys ever run away from home?
Oh yeah.
I mean, quote unquote run away from home. I did.
Yeah. Did you?
Oh, I felt like an idiot.
Yeah, for like a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, but I was I was pre-K. I was a little kid.
The little handkerchief on a stick thing?
I didn't have the handkerchief on the stick thing. I did have a paper grocery bag that I filled up with jelly.
Did you do it in front of your parents?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I told them I was leaving.
Oh, my mother helped me pack.
She did that. Yes.
So she helped me pack. And I'm at the front door.
All right, let's get everything you need.
Yeah. Come on. And then later on that month, I called her from Albuquerque, and I'm like, I'm running away, Mom. She goes, okay, be careful. And then, I never made it past the door.
Yeah, yeah. If your parents start to help, okay,
yeah.
Well, let's get you everything you need to go.
Yeah.
All right, good luck.
Yeah.
We're going to miss you. Bye-bye. Well, send us a card.
Goodbye. Goodbye, you bastards.
But no, I grabbed a bunch of the, little jellies that you can get in restaurants. They're little singles. Serve things.
I'm gonna need jelly.
So there were a bunch of them that I guess I'd kept when we had gone to restaurants, and they were in the fridge. And so it was the only thing I could think of to put in a bag.
Were you holding on to them, like, for when I run away?
And so I walked across the street and down the street to the end of the neighborhood, and I don't remember the rest because I was so young. But I just know that that's as far as I made.
Was the running away predicated on some sort of hissy fit?
I don't remember what.
Yeah.
There's an argument.
Well, yeah. So
at that time, I was like 7 or 8, and my mother did not like my wife.
Okay. Yeah, but when we had the running away club, nobody, and that's why, like, when it started getting real, I was like, okay, I got to go tell some parents about this one. Yeah, I ratted on everybody. But, they were running our way just because it seemed like fun.
Running away is usually, when you're doing it as a kid, you're usually doing it because you're pissed or you're throwing a tantrum,
right?
And that's part of your deal. Yep. And you've seen it. I remember what show it might have been, the Brady Bunch, for Christ's sake, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, all right, well, I'm gonna do it now.
Yeah, I have a fantasy I would love to be on the lam.
Yes.
But I don't want to do anything.
But you're allergic to wool.
No, I don't want to do anything illegal that would cause people, but I would like to see how long I could go without getting caught by the authorities. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I escape from prison.
Yeah, go off the grid?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you have vacation, there are people that will try to kind of, live the hobo lifestyle and just set out on foot without anything. Do you need some money? Or would you like to go out and really try and rough it?
Oh, no. I don't mean like roughing it. I would definitely like to have some money, but I would like to be
able
to.
You want to live like Lagerfeld's cat?
Undetected. Where somebody's
actually... see if you could just go off the grid.
Right.
On the edge of being caught?
Yeah.
But I like
again,
that.
Like, I would have to do something. I would have to murder somebody.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. We could make it into a game.
Sure.
Like, I'll take a week
off. Where
in
the world is Casey?
Yeah. And you leave, and I have to try and find you.
There's no way you wouldn't have the resources. You would need to get the FBI involved. So I would have to rob a bank or something.
Are we talking about an elaborate hide-and-go-seek, or would you yourself look to be completely undetectable, off the grid, unfindable?
Yeah, like, for instance...
It's not as hard as you think.
Would you stay in this country?
That depends. Like, if I needed to leave the country, that would be, my ultimate goal would be to get across country borders or something like that. So the movie, which is a true life story, Escape from Dannemora, these guys escape from prison. And, the one dude ended up getting, and spoiler alert, getting caught and killed by the authorities or whatever. But the other guy.
Yeah, it's a true story, so people know.
The other guy that did end up getting caught, he was so close. And it was just dumb luck where he got caught. Like, he just left his hideout. If he would have waited 15 seconds, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
But he, he just.
Fine is relative, though, when you're on the lam for stuff like that.
But you kind of want to be Richard Kimble. Like, you want to have the authorities chasing after you and have Sam Girard chase you off a dam.
You want to have somebody in your family killed by a one-armed man.
I do not want that.
Okay.
But I would like to be falsely accused of murder.
But honestly, who wouldn't?
You just want to see if you have the capabilities to be able to do that.
Right.
I'll tell you this. You don't.
Are you sure?
I'm sure you would
travel at night. So I've already planned this out, Steve.
And you would keep your hands up in your sleeves.
Yes. Hidden fists. I've told you about this.
I think I could find you.
You think you could?
I think if I gave you 24 hours to do whatever you need to do to get out of town.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's in the closet.
I should have chose the other closet.
He's in the studio here behind our Bradley Cooper cutout.
I don't think you could.
Dude, I do escape rooms all the time.
You do escape. All right, well.
Listen, Preston, this is the FBI. We know you're adroit at escape rooms. We're looking for an international terrorist.
There's a special case.
Yeah, have you opened up the book with the key in it?
No, that's a good idea.
I don't know how you would be able to.
I know a lot of police officers. People could help me out.
I watch police procedurals.
Yeah. No, I could ask for assistance.
Okay.
Yeah.
See the man.
Yeah.
Would I have to be in the state of Pennsylvania? Or
I don't know.
All right. Well, how about let's?
Yeah,
let's,
it could be a mini version here of it. You're not going to go.
Let's
you know,
refine it
to
one
another
day.
Country.
Let's refine it. There's a whole bunch of construction and stuff, and on this floor.
Yeah.
Why don't we, Preston? It's like escape the floor. One more. Let's set it up one morning where Casey, you secrete yourself somewhere.
That's hide and seek. I think following the clues is a better way to go about it. Follow the money. Where has he spent money and track him down? Eyewitnesses, interviewing people, stuff like that.
So interview the construction workers.
Yeah, right. You could do that.
And make sure Casey.
You guys see a dude in a blue shirt?
Yeah, he's over here. He's over there. He's outside the studio door.
Chino, the guy from the
it's my good buddy.
Guest. I can ask him. All right. Anyway, there's a thing called the 48-hour challenge. They're taking it seriously, given the fact that other challenges like the Tide Pods and the Bird Box challenge and stuff like that. So they're recommending that people be aware of that.
I doubt the living hell out of a kid if they did something like that.
I doubt anybody's going to do it, but they're saying to, you know, just keep an eye out just in case. All right, we need a break, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to come back in a moment or two. Jeremy Roenick, former Flyer, is going to be on our show in a little bit. Charity event coming up he's going to talk about, as well as Jack O'Donnell, who's involved with the charity. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score lift tickets for just $20 and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
Scoot up Valentine's Day? Diamonds will get you out of the doghouse. Make it up to her with Stevens Angel Heart Diamond Necklace for only $128. Online at IHateStevensSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Stevens Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. There is an event that is coming up tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m. It will be at the Miller's Ale House on Columbus Boulevard, and it is the New Hope Assistance Dogs charity event. We would like to welcome to the show from New Hope Assistance, Jack O'Donnell, who is here.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Nice, Jack. And yourself?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
I know we're going to get another guest on the line here in a moment. We're supposed to. But real quick, for those who may not be familiar with New Hope Assistance, what exactly do you guys do? What are the dogs used for?
This foundation is fantastic. They raise service dogs to help veterans, former law enforcement, children with autism, depending on what their situation is. And when they receive the dog, their life changes dramatically as far as their well-being. A lot of these guys, believe it or not, are shut in because they were serviced out. They lost their hope. And spend 20, 22 hours a day in their home. And when they get into this program, the dogs pick them. That's the weirdest part about the whole thing is that, and it changes their life.
Like, opens everything up. We were talking about it.
Yes, sir.
We've had Alpha Bravo Canine in here and doing the same sort of thing. And what you guys do is a wonderful thing as well. It really does. It gives people who are suffering and dealing with these issues some normalcy in their lives, and it helps them go to school and get degrees and get a job and so on and so forth, and everything becomes workable.
And the gentleman we had the other day, he lost his family, everything, his whole entire life, his house, everything.
Because he couldn't cope.
He couldn't cope with life. And by the grace of Tammy and her foundation and getting this service dog, he is now a human being again. He has a sense of purpose. And a four-legged animal does this for these people. It is amazing. And people need to come and see what we're going to do tomorrow, which is a special thing where we're going to surprise a veteran tomorrow.
So somebody, a veteran, is going to be there and will receive a dog and have his or her life turned around because of this.
And they don't know it yet.
That's awesome.
And the Warrior Watch people, a gentleman named Andy Mack, fantastic man. He's going to bring the guy in. He's going to be down the road. We're going to bring him in. They're going to welcome him in and say, here.
That's going to be wild to see. So you yourself, you're a former a police officer, and you were in, what, the Army or what?
I was in the Army. I was a military police.
Okay.
And then I got out and became a police officer. And, you know, I did all kinds of volunteer firefighting, the whole thing. And
so you've seen a lot of people who've dealt with this.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is that, especially like tomorrow, you're going to see it right in front of your face how this whole situation is going to turn a person's life around.
Now, Jack, getting these dogs ready and prepared and going through the whole process, it costs a lot of money.
It does. I was just talking to Tammy out in the green room, and it's anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 over the course of...
It ain't cheap.
No.
And a lot of times they'll go through the process, and the dog may not be right for a certain person, or may not be able to complete the training. So there's all sorts of variables that could take place.
And Tammy travels extensively. She travels from Warren, PA, out by Pittsburgh, out to Scranton, where the dogs are being trained into prison.
Okay.
And that's back and forth down here to do all these different things. So we just want to help them keep the lights on, you know, keep the wheels spinning, and just help another person and just have it progress. There's 62 dogs currently in the program right now that are being trained.
That's amazing.
See, the event is tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m., Miller's Ale House, Columbus Boulevard, and there's going to be a special guest there doing a meet and greet. He is on the phone line. One of the best to play the game, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
What's up, everybody? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Where are you these days, Jeremy?
Right now, I'm up in New York. I'm doing a little NBC work tonight, and I'll be strolling into town tomorrow. And looking forward to a great outdoor game on Saturday and a great event tomorrow to help out a veteran.
That's cool, man.
I was just listening to everything Jack was saying. I think that's, it makes my skin get goosebumps just listening to the fact of it, you know, being able to help somebody with a service dog. Animals are so important in our life, and they have such an amazing impact on people. So,
Jeremy, how did you
a lot of fun.
How did you get connected to Jack? How did you guys meet up?
Jack and I go back with a couple of radio personalities, and you know, being we both work in entertainment, so. You know, Jack is he's a very outgoing guy. He's a guy who's very aggressive in terms of you know, when he sees something he wants, he goes out and gets it. And, you know, we had a very lucky communication and introduction, and we've had this idea, and Jack had this idea. Said, let's bond together and try to do something good for some people that really need it. And, you know, I'm all about that. So,
well, it's an amazing thing to see. To see when these dogs, you know, a lot of times when they have their vests on, a lot of people don't know that they're working, and you don't pet them. You don't, you know, they're providing their service. But when you see that the drastic difference they can make in a veteran's life, or, you know, someone who's going through issues, or perhaps a child with autism or whatever the application, it's just astonishing.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we see where our world is right now today, and we see the massive amount of friction, I think, that's going around. But I think one thing that we can all agree on is the people that are involved with our armed services and our military, and whether they are overseas or at home, deserve our utmost appreciation, respect, attention. And if we can do anything we possibly can to help every single one that comes back in their families in any aspect, then I think that's our duty as people that you know, have this great life in a great country, because these wonderful people go out and, you know, they give the ultimate sacrifice and risk their ultimate sacrifice to make sure that we can, you know, have our nice jobs, our nice lives, our nice homes, and
exactly
all the things that we do. So, you know, I love it. It's the least we can do.
So tomorrow night at Miller's Ale House, we understand you're going to be singing. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, listen, you never know what's gonna pop. You never know what's gonna break out when I'm in a
couple beers. And go ahead. Yeah, that's gonna happen.
You'll be dancing with on the tables.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Jeremy, I'm just really excited to be back. To be coming back to Philly. I'll be back there for a couple events in the next couple months. And you know, Philly fans are just, they're some of the best in the whole world. And my time there was short, but it was one of the most unbelievable experiences that I've ever had in my life. So hey, I'm looking forward to helping.
Jeremy, what do you think about these outdoor games? What do you feel? I mean, as a player, what would you think? And then and how about just as someone working in the media and so forth?
Well, I think it's amazing. It brings us back to the grassroots of hockey. There's no question about that. I totally enjoy them. They do have a lot of them, and people have been exposed to a lot of them. But they still have their their luster in terms of the way that it looks, the way that it sets up on television when you're there. It's a pretty amazing experience. I think, it's expanded hockey a lot. It's really it's given the National Hockey League a platform to introduce hockey to a lot of people who will watch it on NBC and say, hey, that's a pretty cool idea. So
yeah,
it's a revenue creator. So I like it. I'm glad that they only went with a couple this year rather than three or four like they have in the past, and not dilute it. They've done a good job this year with it.
Got it. Jeremy, it's Nick, and I wanted to ask you about the Flyers in particular. They've had a really interesting 2 months where they've sort of climbed their way back into the playoff race. They've turned their power play around. They've turned their penalty kill around. They've gotten Carter Hart, who's been outstanding in goal. But they're still 8 points out of the playoff position, and they could be a team that sells at the trade deadline. And so if you're general manager, do you trade Wayne Simmonds? Do you risk that, or do you keep him around and think he might help you get back into the playoff race?
Well, he's a very valuable commodity. That's one thing I think that you have going. And I think what also Chuck Fletcher has going is he has his young kids that are producing right now. They're playing well. He's getting great goaltending from Carter Hart. Things are going well. And when things are going well, you have that ability to trade away someone who might be popular, might be a little bit more of a veteran with some baggage. And I say baggage because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. They just signed JVR last year to a big contract. You kind of wonder, is that kind of stepping on Wayne Simmonds' toes, being a 30-goal scorer, a couple times over?
Right.
If it were me, I would definitely see what I can get for Wayne Simmonds, because every single team in the league would love to have him. You kind of question whether he would re-sign there come July 1st. And you can get some pretty good players or draft picks back in return for him.
Yeah, the nature of the sport, and obviously with you can definitely speak to the sort of you have to pull up stakes and move from team to team, and I assume regardless of what your feelings may be at the time, it they're friends, and it I've always assumed it's a difficult transition, even if there's bad terms involved or good terms or whatever. I assume it's got to be painful in some way. Is that the usual experience?
I think for hockey players it's a little bit more, because hockey players are a little bit different breed. They're different than basketball, football, baseball. I think they care about their sport and their cities.
Yeah.
I think the teams that they play for, I think they respect the fans more so. I think their interaction with the fans, both at the arena and in society, whether it's doing charity events or doing school events, hospital events, is really, really important. And they dive into those. So they become part of the community, I think, way, way more in depth than other sports. And that becomes a very, very sacred and thing that they really, they hold dear to themselves. When they go to another city, they lose that. I know they will gain it back with another city, but they have to build a whole new relationship with it. And that's, hockey players are a lot different in that scenario.
Yeah. How about the dynamic when you go into another team of a guy that you beat the piss out of, or vice versa?
I had it.
And you're like, oh, man.
I've had it. When I've gone to a city, and when a player's gotten traded to my team, and it's very uncomfortable, but you find that, you know, what goes on in the game is all business, and it's all about winning, and you put your personal businesses aside, and you become friends. And I mean, I've seen guys beat the living crap out of each other and have a beer 2 hours later, you know, laughing. So, it's pretty funny.
I was curious if that, if it's unspoken, you know, you see the guy for the first time, and you know, when he's a new member of the team, do you guys quickly go, all right, dude, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Right away.
All right.
Right away.
It's like flipping somebody off on the road, and then you're stuck next to him at the red light.
You guys heard the story of Craig Berube and I. Craig Berube chased me around for 3-4 years after we got into a big fight, and I sucker punched him in the middle of a fight, in the middle of a brawl. Yeah. And he came back to the Flyers the year that I was there, later in the year. Uh-huh. And I'm in the locker room taping my stick, and then Berube comes in into the locker room. I say, hey, what's up, Chief? And he punches me right in the face.
Ah!
I go down, I go down, and he lifts me back up and said, I told you I'd get you. There weren't even any words exchanged. It was, he got me back, and then we played golf later that day.
God, what a game, man.
Jeremy, I know it was 9 years ago, but you know, the Flyers and the Blackhawks played each other in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I know that you had such a loyalty to Chicago, and of course I don't blame you for that. I completely understand it. And those teams that you played for when you were with the Blackhawks, they were dominant for a long stretch.
They were, for sure.
What was that like for you watching the Blackhawks play? I mean, two of your former teams play each other in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, it was great and miserable at the same time, because I knew that I was going to be elated and really sad at the same time. It's, you know, it's two sides of the coin. You know, I have such a love for the Blackhawks. I have such a love for the Flyers. And, you know, if the Flyers would have won, I would have gotten just as emotional, because I know what my time meant there, and what and how the fans have treated me in Philadelphia. I will tell you, I have more Flyer fans that come up to me in the course of a day, wherever I'm traveling, airports, grocery stores, you know, whatever, wherever I may be, than any other team ever. And they're so thankful and appreciative. You know, if the Flyers would have won that Stanley Cup in 2010, you would have seen me just as emotional. I dive so deep in the teams that I play for and give as much as I possibly can, bleed, sweat for that crest and for the people. You know, I don't think there's many players that have played the game that have been as I think attentive to the fans as I have, and it's for a reason. And you know, when people say, "Oh, you got emotional for the Hawks," well, I'll tell you, I would have got emotional for the Flyers. The only problem was that the Flyers didn't win it, and they didn't give me the opportunity to show it. So. Yeah. You know, that's you can't blame me for that one.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say what you're saying, by the way, about, you know, I've contended for a long time that there is, and I know every city wants to feel this way, but I think Philadelphia fans, there is a uniqueness to them, and there is a passion, especially, I think, again, you rightfully cite hockey and the hockey fan base, and the fact that you get the adulation the most for your Flyers Association, I think says a lot about the uniqueness of this area's sports fan.
It even goes even further than what you're saying. It's even a deeper passion, because it's if you're not a Flyer, then you are dead to us. There's not even a negotiation process there.
I'm one of them.
I will tell you, I love that. That passion is how I played the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, people ask me when I said I was going to sign in Philadelphia, aren't you afraid of the sports media? Aren't you afraid of the scrutiny? And I'm like, I said, absolutely not. I said, all Philly fans want is they want you to give 150%. They want you to work as hard as you can, and, you know, put your neck on the line and be good to the people in that city. And if you do that, they're going to love you. And that's how I live my life. And it was a beautiful relationship.
Awesome.
All right. So you're at Miller's Ale House. Once again, this is tomorrow, 6:00 to 8:00 p.m. Also tomorrow is the alumni game. So I guess you're going to be busy. I don't know what time that's going on. Are you involved in that at all, Jeremy? I know you're not playing.
I'm probably going to be over there, but okay. I'll be doing some stuff for NBC. So okay. I will be busy all day. But I sure hope everybody comes out to the Miller's Ale House tomorrow night. I think New Hope Dog Assistance is, you know, the assistant dog care is so important. Mm. And, you know, we're going to try to raise $25,000. And anybody that comes over can help us achieve that and give thanks to somebody who's allowing us to have you know, the freedom and the great life that we lead. And I don't think it's much to ask.
No, agreed. You'll do pictures and stuff like that.
Oh my God! Pictures, autographs, a lot of conversations.
Excellent.
One thing I do when I'm in, when I'm present is I'm present.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have conversations. It's not let's I sign, take a picture, and then scuffle off.
You know? No, I love that, and it's very exciting to the people who are attending. I wanted to ask you, Jack, just quickly about if people cannot make it, how do they donate?
It's newhopedogs.net is the website.
We'll put that up on our site as well, so you can link off that.
Correct, and then the best thing you can do is go on the site, and you'll see Jeremy's picture on the site where you can donate. And then just look at all the pictures of all the recipients. And if that doesn't warm your heart, nothing's going to.
Okay.
And by the way, Jeremy, we noticed your tweet about a week ago or so. 30 years ago today, my first NHL goal.
Yeah, that little pimple-faced 150-pound 50-pound guy. I don't even recognize that guy.
Well,
it's amazing how time flies. Right?
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yep.
Well, you're doing a good thing tomorrow night.
A real asset to the game. All right. Thanks so much, Jeremy. Good to talk to you, man.
All right, thanks for helping.
Jeremy Roenick, guys, you bet. And once again, Miller's Ale House, Columbus Boulevard, 6 to 8 p.m. Is it you just show up, or do you need to prepay, get a ticket, or anything like that, Jack?
It would be nice if you can go on the site and order tickets. Okay. We lowered it down to $50 a ticket, which is going directly to New Hope. And then any person that has children 15 or under want to come, they're free. We're doing appetizer buffet free and some drink specials. Right. And then you're probably going to have a great opportunity to have a beer with Jeremy Roenick. That's probably one of the cooler things.
Nice.
So please come out, and you're more than welcome to join us.
It's awesome. And after Friday now, you can ratchet down your constant heart attack that you've been having.
Yes.
So we've been talking a few times.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's a stepping stone for me. This is just the beginning.
And okay.
Like you said, I'm not going to give up on this type of thing. I'm going to keep doing this all over and over again.
No, it's great work. Cool.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Jack O'Donnell, guys.
Yeah.
New Hope Assistance event tomorrow at Miller's Ale House, 6 to 8 p.m. That's on Columbus Boulevard. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Dave Joyce. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Dave Joyce, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do a Bizarre File run. Here we go.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. Girl Scout cookie-inspired flavors are back at Dunkin'. Enjoy $2 medium lattes and cappuccinos from 2 to 6 p.m. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. A limited time offer. Oh, I love the drunk girl story.
Oh, yes.
The drunk girl story is a wonderful tale, no matter what the particulars are. We'll begin with this. A woman who was dangerously drunk just after midnight Sunday assaulted two police officers and an emergency medical technician after the 26-year-old lost money in a pinball machine.
In a pinball machine.
At a bowling alley.
At a bowling alley.
Kylie Nicole Cunningham was reimbursed for the money lost in the pinball machine, but she punched the glass on the game.
Freaking game.
She was told to leave Blue Mountain Lanes, but instead requested more alcohol. When she was refused, she threw a cup of water in the face of an employee before heading out.
Dickhead.
An officer caught up to Cunningham and a man who were walking on the road.
Are you on a piece of me?
When asking for identification, the officer noticed both of them smelled of alcohol. Cunningham refused the request, and after yelling obscenities, slurring her words, and losing her balance, the officer determined that she was wasted.
This is totally exculpatory.
Cunningham pulled away as the officer attempted to put her in handcuffs, but as the two officers arrived to assist, Cunningham was restrained in the cuffs. She was identified by her medical marijuana card, but continued to be irate and argumentative, so officers attempted to put her in a police vehicle. Once inside, she unbuckled her seatbelt, refused to stay seated, and continued to resist officers. They attempted to place a restraint on her legs, but Cunningham kicked an officer in the chest and then headbutted him as he tried to return to her vehicle. While continuing to curse and spit, Cunningham kicked another officer as he tried to get her into a holding cell. emergency medical personnel were requested to due to her being severely intoxicated, and they decided to take Cunningham to a hospital.
Yes.
As responders attempted to get her into the ambulance, she continued to spit and struggle. So,
what a nightmare.
A spit hood was put in place.
It's like the cone of shame.
Yeah.
Once in the ambulance, Cunningham, even though in the spit hood, bit an EMT on the forearm, leaving marks.
You have to have a big bite for that.
A second ambulance was requested, but Cunningham continued to fight with officers and emergency medical personnel.
I could still spit on you.
She had to be, and I've never heard of this before, had to be chemically sedated in order to be transported safely.
So she was a complete lunatic.
Totally. And here she is all drunk, and they have to sedate her even further.
And the funny thing is, this all began with a pinball machine.
Cunningham was arraigned on 3 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of simple assault, 1 count of resisting arrest, and 3 related offenses.
Unbelievable.
Here's a follow-up story. A man who hid his micropenis from his wife until their wedding night.
It's easy to hide that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Is threatening to sue her after she posted about it online. The bride's post went viral after she discovered her new spouse had hidden his micropenis from her until their honeymoon.
Oh, you have a micropenis.
But in a twist of events, 27-year-old woman revealed her husband had seen the post and was threatening legal action. She confirmed that he was debating suing and divorcing her after he realized that she had shared all her intimate details online, fearing that it was a matter of time before he was named. Can I break in here?
Please.
Before this story is done? The cold air has begun.
Yes, it has.
Did you just feel
just
that?
Now. Yeah. Just now it kicked in.
At about this time every day.
Every day.
The air conditioning comes on in the studio.
You can actually look at your papers.
Yeah.
You can see your papers up
They're
there.
They're moving.
They're moving in the breeze of the cold air.
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one.
Absolutely right.
And you guys are feeling it as well.
Yes.
Back to the micropenis.
Okay.
The woman said that... she says that he wants an annulment and is considering suing me for defamation of character. He says that it's only a matter of time before someone leaks his name.
I am tired of this. The embarrassment is ridiculous.
The woman,
talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about. Who cares what the size of my penis is? It's disgusting. I'm all man. Every bit of me.
The woman initially posted about her unusual situation on Reddit, where she revealed that they had waited to have sex as her husband, who was 32, claimed he was old-fashioned.
Look at the sound I can make with my penis.
She added that he saw the post through an old friend of his who knew that he had a micropenis.
I think so that should be the second question on a date, girls. Do you have a micropenis?
And saw on his Facebook that he had just gotten married. And she said he doesn't know who else the guy has told to link him to it. And I feel like I'm the a-hole. He's Your penis can make that noise.
Do
it again. That's him diddling it.
That's me pleasuring myself. Isn't it adorable? It tickles. It tickles.
She confessed that
like
she
finally... Like a little nubby.
She finally confronted him about why he never revealed his small member. She said, I confronted him last week about intentionally keeping this from me, and he said that he was sure I would leave him if I knew about the size prior to the wedding.
So there was...
And that he wanted to talk before the wedding, but feared it being called off because of his micropenis, and said that if both families found out and gossiped about it, he would be crushed.
So there was no grabbing, no crotch touching?
It happens. On rare occasions, it happens. People manage to talk you into abstaining.
Oh, my God, I'm so aroused.
And you go through it. So, you know...
I'm fully engorged. So there it is.
It might have been like a turn-on for her as far as...
Micropenis? This,
no. Him waiting till marriage. Like,
oh,
my God, guys.
Feel
like,
so disappointed.
They don't make them like this anymore.
Yeah, you know, they improved.
All right.
It's adorable.
One more story. Video footage of a drunken JetBlue passenger throwing a tantrum has gone viral online. Valerie Gonzalez was reportedly taking a JetBlue flight from Fort Lauderdale to Las Vegas on Thursday when she became upset that she was seated next to a three-year-old. According to an arrest affidavit, the irate 32-year-old said... The 32-year-old said, I'm not sitting next to an effing three-year-old. I've been drinking all day.
I kind of understand.
Give me a five-year-old.
Fellow passenger Orlando Alzgari recorded the incident and shared it on Twitter, where it racked up nearly 60,000 views.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'll switch seats.
In the video. He comes in to save the day.
Yeah.
In the video, Gonzalez appears to be talking to someone via FaceTime on her phone while complaining that she didn't do anything wrong.
And, like, so loudly, too.
Oh, yeah. And other passengers begin to film her conversation. At one point, she actually spit on the passenger in front of her.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Like, she can't even see the passenger.
You see her just turn and go,
and spit.
And we're like, what?
Hey, what's the spitting for?
Later, the woman shouts at passengers while gathering her things to leave the plane. What the F did I do? I called someone old because they were, she yells. I'll get my bags and I'll take my effing S. Then the woman exited the terminal. She tried to board the plane again, but a JetBlue agent prevented her from entering the plane. And Gonzalez hit the employee over the head. So she was arrested at the Florida airport and charged with battery.
Wait, when she was getting off, too, I guess they were going to Vegas, right? And so she was going, oh, have fun in Vegas.
Is that what she
Vegas, baby. She's yelling as she's getting off the flight, being escorted off.
Idiots. All right, and there you go. That is your B-file for now. Let's take another break. Come back in a moment. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Casey's giving me something to give away.
Oh, my God.
I have a case of Yards Love Stout to give away. February is all about bringing the love. So we'll take call number 16-215-263-WMMR and give you the seductively smooth love stout from Yards Brewing Company. Perfect thing to bring the ones to you love. And the ones to you love.
Perfect thing to bring the ones to you love.
The ones you bring you love to you the ones you love. Love. Love for Stout. Love for Love Stout at the Liquor Mart in Bear, Delaware. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Caller 16. You're good to go. 215-263-WMMR. Jesus, I need a drink. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Struts.
You don't need to say a word, cause woo, your body talks.
Shine Down. The Fever 333.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The Cardboard Classic is coming up a week from tomorrow. A couple of events to get you prepared for that. In fact, the Countdown to Cardboard Classic is the event that's going on tonight at PJ Willihan's. Maple Shade Marissa will be there with Captain Morgan's and a chance for you to win some concert tickets and this VIP Cardboard Classic experience. And I don't have the list of what all that includes. I know that it does get you into our special VIP viewing area.
Special porta potty.
Porta potty right there.
Yeah.
Also, here you go. Nick just pulled up the information. You get two rooms for the night of the classic on the first. So, you know, that Friday night afterwards, if you want to imbibe quite a bit and party through the night, you can, you know, go hang in the E2000 Lounge. Then what, Shenanigans is the other place where everybody usually goes
to? Everybody go there, yeah.
Everybody ends up at Shenanigans.
And then you can go, you know, hang out, and you got a room for the night, which is pretty cool. And you'll also get four lift tickets to ski Jack Frost on that day as well. And you get one spot on the PJ sled for the run down the tubing hill at the Classic.
So that's awesome.
It's a nice little setup. So that's Marissa tonight, 7 to 9. PJ Willihan's in Maple Shade. And then, let me see, there are two other Cardboard Classic pre-parties, and those are Saturday, noon to 2. Marissa will be at the 12th and Chestnut location of Sprint, and Bam Bam will be at the Morristown Mall location. And a chance for you to win the grand prize as well there, too. So, pretty cool thing.
Love it. Love it.
Yep. And we're excited about the event. Always are. Let's take, let's see, we'll get you a lesson question, see if we can give away a prize. We've got a pair of tickets to see Villanova playing Butler on Saturday the 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center. And the question that I have for you, let's go with this one. When attending the Academy Awards, most people win Oscars. What awards did Denzel Washington win? Not an Oscar, but a different name for the Oscar. Essentially, it was a flub of mine.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. When attending the Academy Awards, most people win Oscars. What awards did Denzel Washington win? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Metropolitan Veterinary Associates. Metropolitan Veterinary Associates in Norristown has been a leading specialty in emergency hospital for over 30 years with 13 specialties and over 30 doctors. They are dedicated to providing the highest quality veterinary care. Learn more at metro-vet.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Priyanka Chopra making it clear that even though she couldn't make it to the Meghan Markle baby shower, the two are still absolutely best friends. In fact, Chopra shared a text she sent to Markle that read, "Just 9 more of my wedding receptions and then I'm all yours." There we go. Empire producers cautiously hedging their bets by strategically reducing Jussie Smollett's screen time in light of allegations he staged his own attack. In fact, in the episode currently being filmed, Smollett will play an olive fork. It's a big reduction. And finally, Gwyneth Paltrow is going on the attack against the guy who sued her over a 2016 ski incident, saying it was, in fact, he that injured her. Paltrow's lawyers have responded with a countersuit against Terry Sanderson and have entered a writ of, "I know you are, but what am I?" That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. When attending the Academy Awards, most people win Oscars. What awards did Denzel Washington win? You had to have been listening earlier. So I'll go to Linda. Hey, Linda, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Linda, what award did Denzel win? It wasn't an Oscar. It was a...
Oscar-mer.
Yes. Linda, are you in a gymnasium right now?
No, I'm at work, so I had to go out to the hallway.
I got you.
What gave you that idea?
It must be the largest hallway in the world. Did you hear the reverb? Linda, hang on the line. We're going to set you up, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Villanova versus Butler on Saturday, March 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center. You can get tickets at wellsfargocenterphilly.com. Let's do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Uh-oh. But you lost your music news.
Marissa, it's in the...
that's twice today.
Listen, I meant to tell her when she brought in my entertainment news that the music news would have been sitting right next to it.
Okay.
And that was several hours ago, and I forgot to have her bring it. Red paperclip.
She did it. She saved the day.
Yay. Music news brought to you by Dunkin'. Girl Scout cookie-inspired flavors are back at Dunkin'. Enjoy $2 medium lattes and cappuccinos from 2 to 6 p.m. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker gave Billboard an update on the band's 8th studio LP. He said, "I'm really excited because we're about 70% finished with our album. And I feel like this is the closest that we've come to something like 2003's Blink-182 since that album, which is one of my favorite Blink albums by far." Huh? Asked why he compared the upcoming set to the 2003 self-titled effort, he said, "I feel like California was similar to Enema of the State and Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, reestablishing the band, giving fans what they really want and expect from Blink. Now that we got all that out of our system, naturally, we're not writing like that this time. It's more experimental. As for when the new Blink record might arrive, Barker hinted April, May, or June, if I had to guess. That's the target. It's kind of loose, but I feel like it's happening right around there." So they are full steam ahead in the studio. Should have some Blink 182 out this year. AC/DC guitarist Angus Young has donated the Canadian equivalent of about $15,000 to the Alzheimer's Society of Ontario. After hearing about a Canadian fan's unusual fundraiser, Steve McNeil, who lost his mother and his mother-in-law to Alzheimer's, has been traveling across Canada to skate for 19 hours and 26 minutes in each of the country's NHL cities, raising awareness and money for local Alzheimer's societies. I don't know why he chose 19 hours and 26 minutes. Maybe his mother was born in 1926. Maybe that's something like that. I'm not really
sure. It's possible. Maybe that's how tall she was.
Nine, one, 1,926 inches.
You're probably more correct. Maybe. Yeah, that's a super big woman.
He says that his efforts, is a tribute to both his mother and Angus's brother, Malcolm Young.
I would like to find out the importance of that. Maybe it has to have some correlation.
Yeah. And of course, the latter was a co-founder of AC/DC.
Yes.
He died of dementia at age 64 2 years ago. So he got word about it. Angus did. Angus and his wife, Ellen, stumbled across an article about his efforts and then asked her to write CBC for more details about supporting the fundraiser.
It's very nice.
Basically sent him a check for $15,000.
It's a horrible, horrible situation. Yes. Robs you of you.
Yep. And then one last thing. The latest John Lennon and Yoko Ono documentary called John and Yoko Above Us Only Sky will air on A&E on March 11th at 9 p.m.
Would you shut up?
The film, which produced by Britain's Channel 4 with the cooperation of Yoko Ono and the Lennon Estate, aired last fall in England and features unheard audio, including the first demo of Imagine.
Oh, dear God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Would you shut up? Holy God.
As well as never heard before interviews.
She's practicing, you know. She calls that practicing.
With Lennon.
Sounds like a cat in a wood chipper.
There's also previously unseen footage that will show him and Yoko working together in London.
Why don't I write everything and you just sit there?
Above Us Only Sky was helmed by Emmy award-winning and Oscar-nominated director Michael Epstein, best known for the 2000 Lennon NYC documentary.
Okay, so you're obviously a huge Beatles fan and familiar with all the work and everything. And I, over the years, Rolling Stone magazine has given rave reviews to these Yoko Ono and the Plastic Ono Band albums. I don't get it.
Yeah, no.
I don't get it.
I guess that sometimes...
Is it just because you like John so much that you want... I don't know, man.
I think if you like John, you would hate it even more. Yeah. I think it's a completely different audience.
So she was a performance artist, so maybe they take that into consideration. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things with Rolling Stone that I've never agreed upon.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. But, yeah, they have always lavished praise on her. So, whatever, man.
Yeah. But, we know it stinks.
Yeah, but that's going to be coming out in March, by the way, that particular film. What is this?
I just found out that the Young's mother, was born in 1926. So that was
there,
the correct.
You were right. Hey. Nice call, man. Right. It's not the height. I was wrong.
Listen, it could have been anything. Man.
Super huge woman.
And that is what I have for your music news. Let's take another break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get ready to wrap this thing up. We only got three letters you need for the Word of the Week prize this week. We'll give that next one to you when we return. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Thank you to Jeremy Roenick for being on the show this morning. I haven't spoke to Jeremy Roenick in a number of years, and it was cool to chat with him. You can meet him and hang out with him in person tomorrow. He and Jack O'Donnell, who stopped by from New Hope Dogs, are going to be at Miller's Ale House in South Philadelphia. It's on Columbus Boulevard from 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow. Jeremy's going to be doing a meet and greet, and he said it's more than just coming by and taking a picture or getting an autograph. He'd like to hang out, talk to you, spend some time.
So. Yeah, and it sounds 100% authentic. So, yeah, go hang with Jeremy.
And Jeremy was a superstar, man. He wasn't just a good player. The guy was fantastic. Tickets are available through newhopedogs.net. So thanks for being here, guys. And Brent Porsche.
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. You got two shows left.
Two more.
And then
Pierre will be back.
Pierre returns.
On Monday.
Yeah. Well, you just crossed your fingers.
Hopefully. Yeah. Okay. You know how you like to take that extra day.
Yeah, it does so, happen. That's right. He's not doing it this time around. Took an extra week instead.
Yeah, right.
So let's get the letter. You ready? Here it is.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter L, as in loving this sunshine.
All right. And we got one more to go, and that is it. A Bud Light 6-pack of pit tickets for MMR. Barbecue 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion, presented by Bud Light, brewed with hops, barley, water, and rice. It's MMRBQ 2019. You can get the complete information at WMMR.com. So we'll give that away tomorrow. What's in store for today,
Brent? Jam-packed show today, man. We got the Workforce Blocks. We're going to be celebrating Eric Wilson, the bassist from Sublime's birthday, with a block. We're also going to do The Who and the Black Keys. And more winning before you can buy them tickets to the Dave Matthews Band for their show BB&T in June. Also, that big show with Breaking Ben, Chevelle, 3 Days Grace, and all of them coming to BB&T in August.
Nice.
Yeah.
Going to be fun. Enjoy.
I just saw a posthumous interview with Chris Cornell talking about The Who and how much he loved Quadrophenia.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, and it was the interview was done in 2017, I think, like that. But I'll send it to you, Brent. It's pretty interesting where he talks about really his reverence for the band. And it's sad to see Chris talk about it because you miss Chris, but it's cool to see him talk about how great The Who was. And
yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, send it my way.
All right, and tonight, Hot Damn Tonight. Marissa Magnata is on location. Marissa, you want to? Never mind.
There's a mouthful of hummus.
I was going to see if she wanted to talk about her event tonight.
Sure. No, some weird stuff's happening here. I took a bite of toast and then all the audio went out on our side of the board, but we're still in the air as far as I know. So we're good. But tonight, PJ Wheelhands and Maple Shade. I mean, it's been crazy like that for you guys.
I understand.
In there. It's crazy like
stay
that.
Stay away from
too.
The toast.
Yeah, you know that. In broadcasting, stay away from breakfast food.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. PJ Wheelhands, Maple Shade tonight, 7 to 9. We're having a big party with Captain Morgan's, Calendar Girls, tons of concert tickets, and then somebody's going to walk away with the VIP Carbo Classic package, which is two rooms to stay overnight after the Carbo Classic, hanging out in the VIP section with us. You get to ride on the PJ Wheelhands sled.
Nice.
Which is awesome. If you always wanted to go down there but could never build your own sled, come out tonight and register.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Marissa. Have fun there tonight. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show today has been brought to you by What a Crock Meals. For info and to sign up for their meal plans, visit whatacrockmeals.com. Also brought to you by Sergeant Scrap. Don't take crap for your scrap. Visit sgtscrap.com and also Hyundai City. Shop the President's Day event with just a click at HyundaiCity.com. Tomorrow on our program, it's going to be a busy day. We have some of our favorite people on. Frank Caliendo is back in town. He'll be in the studio. Rich Voss is stopping by for some time
it's
in
wild.
The studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll talk to Mr. Skin as well. Of course, you know the Oscars are this weekend. And Mr. Skin has also his. It's either the Anatomy Awards.
I think it's the
Skinatomy Awards. Yeah. So we'll talk to Mr. Skin tomorrow about all that stuff. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
What? We have to.
Yeah. I didn't even. Rachel, come over here.
All right.
Stop the wrap-up
stop
music.
Stop the clock.
Stop it.
From our original Preston and Steve calendar girl, Rachel is here. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
Nice to see you. And Rachel is leaving. On Monday.
Yes.
Starting a job in the world of radio in Manhattan, Kansas.
In Manhattan, Kansas.
And the thing about Rachel is Rachel is now going to be an on-air personality.
Yes.
She's essentially been in our calendar and helped out with promotions for a number of years. And she was an assistant here on the show as well. But you actually... You're a broadcaster.
Thank you. I feel so special and a little scared and I'm excited. I've been listening to you guys set the example on the bar, like really high.
You've been listening. So we were at Y100 and you started corresponding and here you are. Listen, it's very cool. And you're going to be a co-host, mm-hmm. you and a guy doing this.
Yes.
It's sort of an active rock station as well.
Yes,
out
it
there.
Is.
And it's so cool that you got it. We're so proud of you.
Thank you so much. I'm really sad to leave. I worked my last event the other night with Brent and Jackie.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to miss you guys, but I'm going to learn. Yeah. I'm going to go to the middle of nowhere to learn.
Yes. That's Preston knows the area, though.
Oh, yeah. He Googled and found me a rifle church.
It's called the something or the other Bible and Rifle Church.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to Kansas.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. But it's a rock station.
Yeah.
You guys can stream me and podcast you. No,
and,
I don't recommend
and you're
going
to get to see tornadoes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's it's going to be fun. Going to miss you guys. But I do a couple of years there and then I, you know.
Come on back.
I can come back. Yeah, there absolutely. I said when Sarah Parker is running the station here, she's going to hire me.
There I see. Nice. Well, good luck to you. We love you. We'll miss you. But we're here to help you if you need any help. All right.
Thank you guys so much. Love you.
Love you.
Rachel. That's awesome. So congratulations to her. That's really, really cool. All right. And with that, we are done. That's it. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
I love Preston and Steve for having this Love You, Hate You line.
because I really hate these assholes that don't know how to drive in the morning when you're taking your kid to school and you're trying to get to work, and they think they're privileged, and they ain't privileged. Oh!
Next message.
Shimmy, 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 shake, shake, shake. Shabba doo, gazooks.
Next message.
Hey, Matt. It's your friend. So, last night, you kept me up all night.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.